Biloxi Blues. It happens every night. And I ain't never met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine.
No, haven't. No riverboat dealers or divas.
Trouble on my mind. So I'm bidding farewell, putting in my notice, and I'll see you at another time.
Sing it if you know it, guys.
This highway does not know my name, and I don't care.
No, I don't care.
Heading my way for another place, and I got three tires and a spare.
Three. Right here.
Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Low budget live, not so live from the Low Budget Live Bar and Grill here in beautiful southern Middle Tennessee. And you may be saying to yourself, self, this is, if you're watching on YouTube, this does not look like the bar and grill. And if you missed the super sneaky surprise, almost too sneaky, Thursday LBL from this past week, you missed your first glance at this new little corner of the bar and grill that we're working with. Been messing around, trying to, change things up a little bit. Y'all know me, I get bored. I get bored easily. So filmed a show down here. All the gear was set up, so I didn't actually move it back to the bar and the bar and grill. So we're down here in yonder corner. We're down here for August 28th. For all you lowlifers, a new look, playing around, man. I'm a one-man band. I say that all the time. I am not good at lighting. I'm not good at editing. I'm not good at filming. You see all these podcasts that are like, they look good. Oh, look at that. Oh, that's cute. But you know what? Are they that good? I don't know. Does it increase your experience if I look better while you're staring at my redneck weed eater sounding self? I don't know. But I do continuously try to make changes as we go along. And this is one I'm playing around with. So no Express banner over my shoulder, hung crooked, as all of you say. But we got Biloxi Blues back. We got a good show for you. And for those of you that tuned in to the Thursday show, I appreciate that. We got a new Turnpike album, Turnpike Troubadours, over the weekend, and there's never anything wrong with that, and that makes everything right with the world. We got that. We got football season starting this Saturday. Go Big Orange. Them Tennessee Vols going to take the field against the University of Virginia. Finally, we are back in the saddle, and we got deer season. It's been the velvet hunt all weekend here in Tennessee, and at this current moment of recording, I have not sat in a tree because it's been 3,000 degrees. Might go after I get through recording this today, though, so stay tuned. I don't know. Can't decide. I can't decide if it's worth it to go out there in the chiggers and mosquitoes to maybe see a buck worth shooting. It's hot. It's hot. I'm a fair weather hunter. I'm sorry. I would rather it be 30 degrees than 90. But welcome, lowlifers, one and all. Appreciate y'all tuning in. Hope you're all doing well out there. And if you missed the Thursday show, and a lot of you did, YouTube actually said fewer viewers are choosing to view this video. I'm like, what? And I kind of snuck that one in there, but it's something that's a goal of mine. I want to do more shows, and I enjoy this. Y'all hear me talk about it all the time, and I want to leave Monday shows alone. I want them to be fishing industry, pro fishermen, you know, the thing that, you know, my lane that created Low Budget Live. But when I started this, there was a reason I didn't name it Luke Duncan's Wonderful Podcast About Bass Fishing. You know, I've got a lot of interest, and I said this on Thursday's show, a lot of interest in life, a lot of things I definitely enjoy partaking in or enjoy talking about. And so Thursday shows, unless there's just some crazy, crazy fishing stuff going on and we get one in, I think the Thursday shows will be reserved for music guests, for folks outside of the industry. If you like that, fine. If you don't, there's always Monday show. I'd like for you to, lay your ears on it. If you like Low Budget Live at all, check it out. Check it out. Watch it. I can't promise it'll be every Thursday just because my weeks are, you never know what life may throw at you, but I plan on being fairly consistent. Fairly, see, it's all about wording. But I do want to, that's something that I, that's a goal more for next year, but I'm going to start sprinkling some of those in. So be on the lookout for those Thursday shows. If you missed the Thursday, go check it out. Ryan Engelman from Turnpike Freaking Troubadours joined us again on Low Budget Live to, you know, talk about their new album, talk about life on the road, pulling a bass boat behind a tour bus. It was a fantastic time. So go check that out. And if you haven't heard their new album, Cat in the Rain, it was released this past Friday. It's out. So go listen to it if you love good music like I do. All right, want to thank the sponsors real fast, and we're going to jump into it right here. StarTron, StarBright. I got the StarTron ball. Look right there. There it is. Kicking ethanol in the teeth in your weed eater, in your chainsaw, most importantly, in your outboard engine. Stupid dumb ethanol is at every gas pump, unless you're getting ethanol-free fuel, and that stuff's expensive. Gas is already high enough at like $3.60 where I'm at. That's crazy. That's crazy. You tack on some ethanol-free fuel, you got to pay out the nose for it. You can just use regular old gas, put you some StarTron in the tank, kicks ethanol in the teeth. We appreciate the folks from StarTron bringing you Low Budget Live now. 6 years of Low Budget Live. Pro Guide Batteries, ProGuideBatteries.com. LBL10 saves you money. LBL10 at ProGuideBatteries.com saves you cash on everything on the site, but those lithium trailing batteries and lithium starting batteries are what you need to check out. They are affordable, to say the very least, and they are top notch from, you know, top notch battery industry professionals. These guys aren't fly by night. You see a lot of them. Oh, we got all the power that you need, all the power in the house. You know, some of these companies out there. Pro Guide Batteries have been in business forever. They have the OEM partnerships to back that up, and that is a key thing, because if it is a good enough company to come factory installed from OEM bass boat manufacturers, you know you can trust them in the back of your boat. ProGuideBatteries.com. BaitWorks.com. Bait-WRX.com. Bait-Works.com. Duncan, D-U-N-K-I-N, -10. Duncan-10 saves you 10% there for being a lowlifer. All you got to do is listen and use that code. I see y'all using that code all the time, and it's much appreciated. Make sure you're checking out. We are headed back to the time frame where the LOB jig is going to be a player. September, October, November, those tough fall transition months. It can be tricky to get a bite. I promise you, this time frame is where this jig shines. This is where the power finesse idea came from. That big beefy Trocar custom 3-0 hook in there. You can throw this thing on 20-pound line and get them out from under docks, out of brush piles, and you don't have to worry about the hook flexing. Finer than frog hair skirt material. It's got an LBL logo on the package, 7 colors there in the LOB jig. But they got everything else in the world, from 10XDs to square bills, son, and everything in between. Bait-works.com. And last but not least, we're going to hang the daggum new invisible banner right now. Bassmaster Classic winning high performance, all welded aluminum bass boat, the X21 Pro and Pro LE that I'm running this year. Sea Deck bow to stern, 250 Yamaha show, pushing that bad boy down the lake. More storage than you can shake a stick at. And just more than that, just good dang people running that company, building those boats. It's a product that I believe in. I would not run my mouth about it otherwise. They are family, and you too can join the Express family. All you got to do is find a dealer close to you. Express Boats have been building excitement since 1966. All right, close your eyes and imagine there's an Express banner here over my shoulder. We're working on something new for that as well right now. Express Boat, got the rock in the Express hat. But y'all know about that Express life. Y'all know I'm all about it. So appreciate the sponsors for the show, and appreciate all of y'all listening to that tune in, for sure. All right, so schedules are starting to drop. We haven't seen an Elite Series schedule. There's rumors it's on the way, but Bass Pro Tour dropped one, and dude, I'm telling you, impressed. I'm impressed because it is just a really damn good schedule. It's and I'm basing that on, I don't know a lot about some of the lakes, but man, and rivers they're going to, but just a total shakeup. And I like the imagination there. It's something I've always said about NPFL. I like some of the lakes they go to that other people haven't gone to. And I think, and I'm going to call it the Cowan River in North Carolina. I'm not sure. It's C-H-O-W-A. And you could call it the Chowan. And maybe that's what it's called. I don't know. That's North Carolina. They look like Tennessee. They may call it like they see it. But I'm assuming that's a tidal fishery. I don't know anything about that place, anything. But they're going there and the James River back-to-back tidal fisheries. Very cool schedule. Starting at Toledo Bend really early in the year. They're going to smash there. Overall, just like two thumbs up for them. Like good for them. They're going up north, but let's pull it up real quick. They're going up north, but it's not that northern swing that we're seeing all the time. And I hate to be like a lot of the Mom's Basement crew, but I do these northern swings, man, with LiveScope, it is getting more difficult to watch at times. You know, I love learning. I threw that out there to y'all last week, and a lot of people were like, I just can't. It's like watching paint dry, and I get it. I've fished up there enough that I appreciate what they're doing and what they accomplish when they go up north. So I do watch it for that. But Toledo Bend, going back to the schedule, Toledo Bend, January 30th through February 4th, could be cold, but they will crush. Santee Cooper in late February. So that's, you know, probably not going to be a sight fishing event. As much as some of those guys probably wish it was a sight fishing event. We all know how some of those guys handle sight fishing events. Helps them all the way. Then they go Dale Hollow, April 9th through the 14th. That's a freaking hidden gem. Lake Eufaula, Oklahoma, April 30th. Then Heavy Hitters is going to be on the Kissimmee Chain in May. That'll be a slugfest. Then you got this, what I'm calling the Cowan River. Y'all hit me up in the comments. It's C-H-O-W. I don't want to say Chowan. Chowan, and then that not be correct. June 4th through the 9th, then they go to the James River, then they end on the St. Lawrence River, August 6th through the 11th. So they do have one pure northern smallmouth deal in there. It's a cool schedule, man. It's a really cool schedule. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. The Invitational's released theirs as well, and for the Rest in Peace FLW Tour Tackle Warehouse Invitationals. They were going to West Point Lake on there. It was kind of a throwback. Somewhere that nobody's visited in a long time. Hell, I think I fished one of the last big events that was on West Point. It's cool fishery. So hats off to Bass Pro Tour. I think that's a ridiculously unique and going at different times of year to some famed fisheries, but that one's gonna be a wild one to watch. It'll be a lot of big ones. And they're avoiding the damn spawn like the plague, I feel like. I don't blame them. Nobody sight fishes. They may have a new rule about bed fishing. They probably need it now. My mic went out a little bit right there. Good schedule though. Elite Series at St. Lawrence last week. I gotta apologize. Y'all called me out on it. At time of recording, they still had Brandon Cobb on Bassmaster.com leading Kyle Welcher. Obviously, that wasn't the case. And obviously, we got to say a big congrats to our buddy Kyle Welcher. We had him on just a little earlier this year talking about the Northern Swing. And surviving that as a Southern angler, he has done that tenfold. So congrats to Kyle on Angler of the Year. And as I'm recording this, let it be known, the Elite is not finished yet. And this is Sunday afternoon, still not finished. And Kyle had mechanical issues. He ended up borrowing Justin Atkins' boat. It cracked me up because Zona was like, this is the Mercury move of the day. And he was getting in Justin's boat with the Yamaha show because his Mercury was giving him fits. It's the Mercury move of the day, all right. Right to a Yamaha. It made me laugh. But contractual obligations, I get it when you're doing live. But I laughed at this is the Mercury move of the day. Is a class act gesture from Justin Atkins. And at recording time, let's see. Let's just look. Let's just look at the old Bass Track real quick here. When y'all are listening to this, none of this will even matter. I just wanted to see if Welcher got his crap together. He's only got two fish at time of recording. But crazy chaotic day. But Kyle wins AOI. Congrats to Kyle. Super good dude. Very analytical fisherman. I've had him on the show a couple times. Go back and listen to that episode from earlier this year when he was in the AOI race early on. I think they were fixing to head to Sabine, and we're talking about that northern swing. But interesting to see how it all played out. And congrats to him and his wife. That's it's really cool to see. A lot of new faces up there, man. I've talked about that to death this year, but a lot of new blood, new faces in the industry for damn sure. The brutal reality of pro fishing showing its head. A lot of guys not going to requalify for the Elite Series. There'll be a list sooner than later. There were guys that had a great event and were able to keep their hopes alive, but there's a lot of boys that aren't coming back. So it's brutal, man. And you know, what are your options? It's like if you get booted from BPT, what are your options? You get booted from the Elite, you got to fight back through those dadgum opens, and that's not easy to do, bass fishing purgatory. So my hat's off to y'all. Hopefully we can get a couple on that didn't requalify. I think that's an interesting conversation to have. You know, what are you looking at now? Especially some guys that have been out there for a while. Once that list comes out, we will try to do that for sure. But congrats to everybody there. It's a two-man race between old Coach Walters and Chris Johnson as I record this. And we'll see how that plays out. And by the time y'all listen to this, obviously you will know. All right, we're going to get the sauce. We got a little double trouble today, but we're going to get the sauce presented by the W Sauce, America's Worcestershire sauce. And they're making that new breakfast sauce that is delicious on everything from hash browns to eggs right there. You can find it at a lot of grocery stores. You can get it online, the W Sauce. And how perfect is it that we are getting the sauce presented by the W Sauce from someone that goes by the W and someone else that goes by a couple of letters? We're doing a double trouble interview today. Ladies and gentlemen, these guys combined for over $3 million in bass fishing earnings. They are absolutely two of my favorite humans on planet Earth, two of my brothers, and two members of what we used to call the Tennessee Three, baby. Ladies and gentlemen, the W, Wesley Strader and BK Brad Knight. Okay, as promised, the other two members of the Tennessee Three have joined me virtually, Brad Knight and the W himself, Mr. Wesley Strader. And I said, all my interviews are sponsored by the W Sauce, America's Worcestershire Sauce. And I'm like, damn, this is like the most perfect week ever. The W.
And I still ain't got none.
Well, you'll have some this week. I'll make you a deal. I'll send the guest. So thank y'all for taking time out of your busy schedules to do this. Got business Brad there. He was at his computer. He's moved where he's going to sit for this interview a few times, and the W just happened to be in front of these trophies.
Right? Yeah, he just propped up just right over his shoulder. Hell, I thought about getting my chair and rolling around over the thing. So I'm, you know, I don't have as many as he has.
I would. I just roll that sucker around. Give us the grand tour.
We'll save that for later.
That's what I do. If I had a chair with wheels, I'd do it too.
Well, I don't know about that. Sitting in front of my computer because we don't have TV anymore. I took all that stuff out of my house. So I was looking on Bass Live a minute ago to see who was going to win. And here we are, my little office.
What about Welcher breaking down? Like, he was broke this morning before I ever put the boat in the water, and he still may come back and win. I hope he does.
He's in Justin's boat. Did y'all see that?
Yeah, I watched Justin bring his boat.
I didn't follow along with it. So once it goes to my bass fishing coverage now, I look on day four to see who wins or the final day or whatever, because I can't keep up with everything throughout the week hardly. So just follow the final days.
Too busy. So I set this up really for the past few weeks. I've been reminiscing. I text you, BK. I was out in Hot Springs for the Express dealer meeting a few weeks ago, and the arena was empty. We were in the convention center, and I walked out there and I sent you a picture. I said, hey, I know a guy that his life changed pretty dramatically right here a few years ago. And then you made a post this week about winning that 8 years ago. And I saw you shared it and was commenting, and I shared it. And I'm like, that time frame in bass fishing was unbelievable. First of all, for us, I mean, as friends, that was some of the greatest times of my life. But I saw Wes, you commented. I saw guys like John Murray comment. I saw a lot of fans comment like, hey, will we ever get back there? And what I mean by that is obviously from a payout level, from an excitement level with the big championship. Of course, the cup's gone away, but we got Red Crest and you still got the Classic, but they don't pay what those cups used to pay. And I just thought it'd be fun to get in here and talk about really how everything's changed a lot dramatically, all of us, and just the industry. And Wes, you know better than anybody with all your years with FLW within that organization, though, that wild ride when it was the Irwin Jacobs era, where we first saw wrap boats for the first time. I think so many people don't realize what it was like back then compared to now. I mean, don't get me wrong, it has grown, but
I had one before it was wrapped. I actually had a Fujifilm Ranger that was painted lime green, yellow, and white.
Unbelievable.
You're talking about hard to get rid of.
Did you sell it?
Get rid of.
I mean,
I actually saw that boat at Fisherman's Headquarters in Benton, Kentucky, about where I was up there for something.
Me and you were together. We were going.
Yeah, it was my boat. It was my boat that had, and they had changed. They'd put a Yamaha motor on it, but I knew it was my boat. I'm like, hey, where'd you get that at? And he told me where it bought it at. And he was actually like a, I think he was a youth minister, a youth pastor or something like that. And he ended up, don't know what happened after that, but he's trying to sell it. So I wanted to buy it so bad, but I just couldn't make myself buy it. So, but it was nice to see that thing. Like, yeah, I remember those days. So, I kind of miss those days myself, you know, no this looking down and all that, just going fishing. You know what I mean? Just fishing, not staring.
I said that too, before I got y'all on the BPT schedule next year sets up for, I mean, it's going to be different. You got a couple rivers in there. That's some W water in there, look like to me, with, and there's no sight fishing events really. And I mean, I can't imagine.
What?
They're definitely not going to smallmouth land when there's they're gonna start in
where I didn't see that fish. I wasn't looking at that.
Shut up. Let's don't start on that, because that gets me bent sideways.
Oh, don't think
I don't need them. I don't need any more bending, you know what I mean? That's just stairway. There's a lot of people gets bent over that too. So
the year of the no look.
Just Stevie Wonder out there.
Hey, wait a minute.
Tennessee, if I shoot a deer that's in a corn pile, but I'm not looking at him while he's in it, and I didn't know he was in it.
No, that was for squirrels, though. See, that's the problem. That was a squirrel pile.
The squirrel pile. I told those deer to get out of it.
Put a sign up that said no deer allowed.
I do have one of those signs in my shop. So W, you said it. So I'll let you kick it off then. And I know most people probably don't realize you like your electronics. You utilize your electronics.
I do. I mean, I'm just not as I am not the difference in me and the younger generation. The younger generation just goes, me and Brad's been talking about this for a while now. You know, if I go out there and I'm fishing around, I'm using my active target and I'm looking, and I go, say I go an hour without catching one, or I'm not upgrading, or I'm not. I always fall back to my old ways. Like, I'm going to go over here and go catch one, how I know to catch one. I don't devote myself to, hey, I'm spending 8 hours up here just looking and trying to catch a fish that's never been thrown out, or if it has, or they're, I ain't going to say they're dumber, but they're, evidently, they're easier to catch than the ones that are on the bank. So that's just me. I fall back into a bad habit of going back to what I've always done. And it's getting harder and harder to compete with these guys that just stare down at these electronics. But I am looking forward to, there's two river events in this. One of them, I don't think any of us has ever been to that river that's in North Carolina. I've never even heard of it. So
Cowan River. How do you say that?
I don't ask me.
Is the H silent?
I've never even heard of it. A buddy of mine, Mike Mays, lives over there, and he told me about another river over there years ago. He said, man, you need to come over and fish. It's really good. I don't even know if it's the same river or not, but he said it was always good. He's always invited me to go over and fish it, and I never went fishing. I don't even know if it's the same river or not, but he said it's a phenomenal fishery. If it's the same one, I'm not sure. So
are you glad to see that there's not going to be this huge northern swing like we've been seeing with all the trails? I mean, I know you love up north. We all do. It's fun, but are you glad to not see that next year?
I don't like me myself. I do not like these catch fests. I don't, you know, if you have a bad day, you catch 17 pounds, that's a bad day. You know what I mean? And then you can't recoup from it. That's the places I don't like going, because you cannot, you can't stumble. You can't have a, you can't have a off day. You cannot make that up. So those are the tournaments I don't like going to, because, and here's what's crazy about it. Those smallmouth are the easiest fish to catch, and they're the one that gives me the most problems, because I don't know if I'm just trying to make them be on that rock, or they're supposed to be around the rock. I don't understand them. I don't understand why here one day and gone tomorrow. I just, it just boggles my mind. And I don't have the time to go up and live up north for a month or 2 months out of the time, you know what I mean? In the off season. So that's the difference. I just don't have as, you know, just that knowledge of those northern smallmouth. They're a totally different breed than the Tennessee River smallmouth, and or the smallmouth in the south. So I don't know. It's just one of those mysteries. I'm just glad we're just going one time, and I'm pretty sure they're going to cut it off at the mouth of the at the mouth of the river like it did last time. So
yeah, lake, man.
No more running to the lake, and you know, none what of that beating yourself.
What if you don't see the boundary? If you just act like you didn't see it, can you go in the lake?
I didn't see that. You said that. I didn't say that. I didn't say a word about it.
Like, just wear some blacked out.
Wait a minute. What if you're
blue blocker
outside the boundary fishing during the off limb or during the off limits, and your drone flies over the fishable water? Is that illegal or not illegal? Just saying.
No.
Just throwing that out there. Hypothetical stuff. I'm just throwing that out there.
Don't be speaking in them hypotheticals.
Hypothetical situations.
You'll get us in trouble. You'll get us in trouble. BK, so you and I talk a lot about how things have changed and what the W just hit on there. You said earlier this year, man, I miss going down the bank and flipping bushes and being competitive, you know, and not, I think it was after that, maybe the Bugs Island open up there that you did good. You're like, guys are, they're literally live scoping up here. Chalets, like what are we doing?
Like, well, it was fine with me. That was way less people that were in my way, but you know, obviously that's not a way to have a lot of success in bass fishing these days. And when I first started fishing, bass tournaments were $4,000 entry fees. There were six tournaments, the FLW Tour. So you were going to have to invest 24 grand, right? Half of those tournaments paid 200,000. Half of them were 100,000 per second. The championship was $1 million. So one thing about, like, we kind of get back to what's changed, like, about my post, it wasn't like my championship win was the bar, right? A couple of years prior to that, we watched our good friend Scott Suggs, right? $1 million. So we're 50% reduced where I'm at. So it was already on that trajectory south. We survived the 08 stuff. You know, that was – I kind of got in at the peak, really. Like, 08 was my rookie year. You know, everybody knew about the recession stuff then, but I was like in my mid 20s, freshly married. I was working a couple of jobs, just hustling, trying to make a fishing business. And dude, we were broke anyway, so it didn't matter. We never felt any recession stuff. So it was just, you know, we're just rolled. So we were broke, trust me. But regardless, what you could say as a young guy or a high school or college angler, you know, the sky was the limit at that point in time. So we hadn't seen the peak, and unfortunately, I think for the near future we have, I don't know if we'll ever say that, you know, the next 10 or 15 years, who knows what's going to happen. But for the immediate future, yeah, we've obviously seen the peak, and that's kind of the sad thing for the young guys that are getting into the sport now, or just anybody, a 40-year-old guy that's getting into the sport is what, you know, you've seen the ceiling now. It is what it is, so. You know, that's it's a tough way to go, but it's still accessible, obviously, a way to make a living. You see, you know, Wesley and myself are still doing it, different levels. But you're just going to have to find some different channels and different avenues besides just tournament bass fishing, like what I, you know, really want to do. I never got into it to make a YouTube channel or to be a big social media guy. I just wanted to be an old bass fisherman that just weighed in some fish, and just it was all about fishing for me. And you know, we kind of seen that tide shift, and that's kind of shifted kind of away from the tournament scene. And I just don't feel like nowadays the value for a tournament full-time bass fisherman is there, because there's so much access for information. I used to, it was the magazines and what was on TV and stuff. And, you know, I know that's kind of a broad brush to paint, but it's, you know, there's a lot of options out there, I think, now than just being a tournament bass fisherman if you want to fish full-time.
Yeah, you know, the thing I was thinking about the other day, and I this, I mean, this is mind-boggling. Do you know we've been fishing for $100,000 first place since 1997? It hasn't went up. Entry fees has went, it started out at, when I started, it was $1,250.
Was that like 1964 when you started?
Absolutely. Not, as before Ranger Boats was in existence, pre-1968. So anyway, but that's the thing that boggles your mind. I mean, yeah, the payouts are good, but if you don't, I mean, if in a Bass Pro Tour, if you top 10, you're going to make some money. But other than that, you get a 10 grand check, but you got five grand just in entry fees invested. You know what I'm saying? And that's not travel. So if you have a good week, you might make $2,000, maybe $2,000.
In my you got
year, I made zero. It's the worst. So,
yeah,
and I don't understand how everything, the entry fees has went up, the payouts has went down. It's mind-boggling. I mean, I'm not complaining. Don't get me wrong. I love my life and I love my job, and I wouldn't trade it for nothing. But it just makes you sit wondering, like, how can you pay $100,000 in 1997, but you're still paying $100,000, you know, 26 years later? You know what I'm saying? Or that's crazy. Or 26 years later, you're paying the same first place price.
The most interesting thing too is when we saw the spike, and we did see some of those FLWs pay a couple hundred grand, you know, through a little time frame there. It would be like the last tournament of the year, the opens or whatever they would call
it. No, they actually had two that have the Walmart open and the Chevrolet open, or the Chevrolet, whatever it was. And usually the first place was 200. The Walmart open was always at Beaver Lake. It's 200,000 first place. Second place was 100,000. And they would do the Chevy. Whatever it was, the Chevy, I can't even remember what they call it, but it'd be 200,000 first place, 100,000 second place. So, you know, I don't know. That's all above me. I just don't understand, you know, just makes you sit and wonder, like, same amount of first place is the same as it was in 1996.
It's incredible. And when we saw that spike in the big championship payouts, in particular on the FLW side, it was all non-endemic driven. It wasn't the industry back
then. Yeah, it wasn't the fishing industry. Right. It was
that's the thing. That's something Brad and I talk about a lot too, is it's amazing that we have to rely outside of the industry. And fishing is a $1 billion industry, right? I mean, it is. It's these companies are making money, but to go back to what Brad said, there's so many different avenues though where a company can spend their money now, other than just with tournament fishermen across the board, whether that's an influencer on a TikTok channel that's never fished a tournament in his life, or a YouTube guy or whatever. We're seeing that, you know, and it really started a few years ago, and I've talked about it a lot on the show, but it really started a few years ago. But now the fishing industry, the pie is split up so many different ways. When used to, you wanted to be on the back of the guy. You wanted Wesley Strader, you wanted Kevin Van Dam, you wanted Andy Morgan and Brad Knight. You wanted those guys using your products because those were the only people that were really sought after for getting information on how they caught them, what techniques they use all over the country. How do you break it down? Everywhere we go, as Chris Jones said. But those were the guys, man. And now you've got it, it's wide open. Like it is. It is truly open season. And I just wondered, does the fishing industry ever go, you know what? I'm tired of seeing these payouts the way it is. I want to do X amount more for bass or MLF or whatever. Or does it take another big non-endemic surge like we saw Irwin do with the Walmart years, you know?
It takes people quit paying entry fees at the start of the year. Period. End of story. It's a business, guys. I mean, like, here's the thing, and I've talked about, and I've gotten a little bit of heat about this, I mentioned on your show. Here's what you always hear about bass fishing. Bass fishing's an unbelievable sport. Bro, my opinion here, we're the furthest thing from a sport there's ever been. Like, we're a business. And when you get to stand on the front deck of your boat on TV or on stage, you're there to promote product and sell product, period, end of story. Don't care if you can catch a bass or not. Really, care about selling stuff. That's all that matters. This is a business to move product, period. That's all it's about. So, as long as they have other ways to generate sales, and they don't really need you. And that, so for me, if you don't have entry fees or any, you know, a bunch of people to sign up, then they're going to have to change the ways. But, you know, Toyotas are full, BFLs are full, MPFLs are full. Everybody's wanting to get, if I ran the business, why would you change it? I mean, you could drop it. I mean, you've seen MF in Major League Fishing get rid of the cup, what they've done to the FLW tour, and it'll be full next year. There'll be a waiting list. Every tournament this year was full. So, like, we go, well, we want to change, we want to do this or that and other. Then, you know, January comes, everybody's throwing them that credit card to swipe their deposits. And I'm not saying you should, or I'm not calling for any boy, whatever, but that's what, until nobody signs up. And well, I mean, why would you change? What's, why, if you're a tournament organization, you're making money hand over fist from anglers, because we are the customers here. Would you ever deviate from something to make less profit, as in that's a right. business sense? Why? I don't understand.
Well, that's what people gripe about the payouts in the opens. They're like, man, these opens don't pay what they should. And then
right.
waiting list. I'm like, well, I mean. Right.
Oh, that nine tournaments. Everybody's going to sign up for nine tournaments. This is the worst thing ever happened to the opens. There's 250 at the first and 47 on the waiting list trying to get in all. I mean, you know, I'm like.
Same with the choice. 350 boats. I mean, it's insane to see. Yep. And like you said, the FLW Tour has changed to the invitationals where it's at now. But they're still full.
Rain's going to be full next year. Every league will, you know, and that's the thing, right? So that's the that was probably the genius behind the high school and the college fishing and bringing that stuff up. You know, you got to have customers, you know, so raise the price a little bit.
It's like everything in the world. Yep. Everybody's got to have a customer. If you don't have a customer, you can't sell goods, period. Whether it be NASCAR racing, whatever, you get, just like you said, you got to move product.
Yep.
Moving product.
Yeah, gotta have butts in seats, and we got plenty of butts trying to get in seats these days. That's for sure with the college and high school stuff, you know. But and I think that's what, because I obviously y'all know I'm in the industry, work in the industry, and you hear a lot about growth, and we are seeing an overwhelming number. There's a lot of people fishing. There's more people.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Right. But are we seeing true growth? Because, you know, I know back from a bass boat sales numbers perspective, we're not selling any more bass boats now than we were 3 or 4 years ago, to be honest. I mean, we're just not, you know, are we selling more tackle? Probably. I'd say there are a lot of companies selling more tackle. I think the electronics companies are the ones benefiting the most. Like, oh, you tell me if I get 6 graphs, I can catch more bass. They're right. Definitely doing well. I don't know the overall sport and the business of it is growing.
Right.
You know,
is that just a shift that you're seeing from like company to company, right? Like we have the pie and it's going to be this much money, right? So, when the Alabama rig's hot, it's going to be towards the swim bait market. Now that it's the live scopes hot, everybody's buying graphs. And, you know, so I don't know that you're seeing like the same amount growing all the time or just shifting from one technique cause, you know, just kind of back and forth with that. It seems like I don't see a lot of new growth per se, just more industry shift.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely a shift. That's the best way to describe it. It's a shift. A lot less buzz baiting going on, W.
I tell you, the one thing that I've noticed is there are a lot more people on the water and a lot less room to go around. That's what I've noticed. Like just ever since COVID, post COVID, I mean, sometimes you're middle of the week and I'm not knocking anybody, but you're just like, man, does anybody even work anymore? I mean, it's like the parking lot's full on Tuesday. The parking lot's full on Monday. It's full on Thursday. I mean, just there's not a week that it's not. And it's like, I think the thing that COVID did is it boosted people actually started getting out of their house and they dusted that boat off from 1971. They've had it stored up in the basement and they went fishing and then they realized, hey, this is the only thing we can do. And then they realized how much they missed it and introduced more people to the sport and just fishing in general. And now everything's crowded, you know, and it's been the decline of the fisheries a little bit too. I'm not saying the fisheries aren't any good, but the overall catches, excluding the St. Lawrence River, you know, they're kind of down. You know what I mean? They're just, it doesn't fish the way it used to fish. Like it's just a lot tougher. So, and I just think that's just for more people, more bodies on the water, more just, it would be the same thing if everybody, okay, Iowa, everybody can get a tag in Iowa. It'd take about 3 or 4 years. And guess what? I would decline except for private land.
Oh, no doubt about it. But I think people, COVID put things in perspective for a lot of people too, right? Like I think that I know for me, as far as spending more time with family and going, because we didn't have, my kids didn't have any ball games. They didn't have anything going on. I wasn't traveling like I always travel. And we got to have dinner at the kitchen table together straight if we wanted to. And we've never been able to do that ever. Right. And I think for me, and it you focus on what's important. And I think, like you're saying, W, people are like, oh my gosh, I miss this. I used to do this with my dad. Now I'm taking my kids. And boat sales did spike for a couple of years there. And I know tackle sales, kayak sales, for sure. People were just getting on the water any way they can. But that did, there's a couple little lakes here at the house. You could see that year the fish changing. You could see it. You could feel it. And I can remember even talking to a guy like Mark Zona about St. Clair. He's like, buddy, Canadian side was closed. America getting hammered is one of the greatest lakes in the country. Now, the elite smashed them up. You guys caught them good up there, and it's starting to make a comeback. But, man, there was a couple years you were going, well, this is just another – it looks like a Tennessee River lake now. These fish know they know we're here.
Yeah, pressure.
Yeah, that's right.
Pressure. That's pressure. It, pressure.
And here's another thing, too. It's the information that the average guy has now. That's another thing that's when I very first started, there weren't that many people that knew really a lot about really good bass fishing. And the guys that did know didn't want to tell anybody else about it. So now we've had this information overload. Like if you wanted to go fish a springtime tournament at Gunnersville, let's say, and you don't know much about bass fishing, hardly at all, and you've got a spring break, you want to take your kids down, but 5 hours on YouTube, you can know what to throw, where to throw it at. And there's so much of that. I think for the common average guy can go get all the information, get all the tackle ordered to his house and be ready for a trip like that and be able to go fish at a high level now. And I think that has a lot to do with it too.
No, there's no learning curve. The learning curve is so small now. It's what it took me, Brad, you took us years to figure out. They figured out one click of a video.
Watch one video. Yeah. We gave away a lot of stuff. And I'm just talking to the fishing industry in general, gave away a lot of stuff on YouTube, earlier in our careers for, content. And that was kind of the growth, social media and all that stuff. So it was, there's a lot of really good information. No secrets, really. No secret locations. You got to kind of get out there and figure it out that day.
What do y'all think about? Have y'all seen this deal, as we're talking about changes here, this Fish Tips thing, this app where you can truly buy, like that Ben Milliken guy, right? He's invested in it in some way, shape, form, or fashion. And after he was down here at Wheeler in the open, hey, you can buy my top 10 spots from Wheeler Lake. Here are the waypoints through this app. I'm not with that, guys. Like, I'm not. And whether it's Wheeler or somewhere in Texas, like, I don't think that's a good thing. I don't think that's a good thing.
How much?
That's could be. Wait a minute. Whoa. This could be a great business to get into. This could be a great business. I'll see a ton of waypoints on Wasbar, Chickamauga. They are fantastic.
Right. We'll give you the top five.
Loaded Chester Frost Park. Honey holes.
I spoke too soon. I need to sign up for this deal and try to sell some stuff, I think.
Exactly. Hey, McFarland Park, right here's the dot right here.
Hey, these docks in McFarland Park are amazing. But they're
all in the shoe. If you ain't in the shoe, you ain't down, boy, if you ain't in the shoe.
Right. You guys should go to Coger Island. It's amazing.
Yeah. Back in the day, they did.
Just stay on the tip of Coger Island the whole time.
Marked maps. Back in the day, you could buy marked maps from people.
Oh, yeah.
So that's the new age, I guess, right?
Yeah, that's...
When you're talking about that, you can buy trails, like Lake Fork. Prime example, I bought one.
Yeah.
Used to, it take you an hour to get the back of the little Mustang. Take you an hour to get back there. Well, now you can just run back there because they got all of it marked.
So you mean you can buy a chip is what you mean with that, with the trail on it to run safely?
Yes. Absolutely. And it has a stop sign where to stop at. You run to that stop sign, stop, hit another trail,
Now, Dubby, I've been in the boat with you a lot, and you send it. I mean, you do. You send.
I don't send it like I used to.
Well, but
when basketball's got to be $110,000, you just don't send those like those $23,000 basketballs.
Well, but my thing is, when you don't know a place and you put in this chip, you trust it. You just go full send. You up. There's the trail.
So I'm going to tell you right now, that Lake Fork chip that I got when it was Lake Fork, I was like, and them trees is going by you like this. You're like, ooh, but guess what? It was spot on. It was money. You just had to know when you got to that stop sign, you better stop, because if you didn't, not good.
Let me ask you this. Does it adjust based on water level too? Do they have that? Is it that smart of a deal, or is it just you buy
it's
it for
the same? It's the same trail no matter what.
Okay. Well, I mean,
you got him nervous now. Now he's thinking. He's like, oh, wait a minute. I have to adjust for water level. Oh, shit.
Because I remember being at Rayburn when it was high one time. And there's a big difference in Rayburn high and Rayburn low.
Yeah, there is.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So a trail's a trail.
I think the chip was made while the water was down so you could run it. Because we was there and it was way, way down. So you saw a lot of stuff. You're like, oh, I ran across that the last time I was here. That's not good.
When we were at, when were we at Rayburn, Brad? Like 18 or 19? It was 19 when it was so hot. And George lied to us and said he wasn't catching nothing. And then he caught like 30.
Yeah.
That first day or whatever.
I swear I wasn't catching them.
But the water was high. I was staying with Castledine and Russell Cecil.
Yeah.
Two hammers. And they're like, dude, it's terrible. It's tough. It's awful. They didn't catch crap. And everybody else in the tournament but us three caught the piss out of them. And I'll never forget the first day, though. I'm running into like Veach, and I got a marshal, and he's from there. And I'm just, I mean, you could go anywhere. It was at a record high. So I didn't pay attention to anything. Then I'm cutting across the right hand point going into Veach, which is, you, I mean, you're dead if you run at any other time. And this,
he
goes, hey, no. He's throwing his hands up, waving, about to grab the steering wheel. And I said, I'll slow down. What? And he goes, go. That way. Oh my God. And I'm like, I just look at him. I just keep going. Listen, he's clinging to everything.
He's got the death grip on the handle.
He gets stopped. I pull up on this little offshore spot. He goes, man, you just scared the hell out of me, man. Oh my gosh. You don't even know what you just ran through. I said, buddy, the lake is 15 feet high. We're going to be all right today. And he goes, oh gosh, I didn't think about that. Oh my. Oh man, I said, I'm gonna scare you all day because I don't even know where I'm at. But he was terrified. Shout out to that marshal.
Hey, I got a question for you. We was at the year that we was at Lake Fork, the last time we was there were bananas. People were putting bananas in these trees, and I can't figure that out for nothing. Like you'd look up and there'd be like four bananas hanging in a stump. You're like, what is going on? And it was everywhere you went. You'd be cruising through that timber. You'd look over, and there'd be a cluster of bananas hanging on this tree. And I'm thinking, what?
I thought you was hungry. They want to let you just go over and get you one of them.
Do they have monkeys in Lake Fork that I didn't know about?
Like actual bananas.
Actual bananas from the market. Like not fake bananas, real bananas. I don't know. It was trying to keep people from fishing there, or it was a here's the spot, banana spot. You know, I don't know. I have no idea. They were hanging everywhere, though. You'd be idling through there, and you go looking. You're like, is that a banana there in that dead tree? And you get over there, and sure enough, there'd be two or three bananas hanging in the tree.
Let me ask you this, though.
Somebody explain that one. What's the bananas? What's the deal with the bananas? Well, see if I can find out. Let me know.
Did you cast to the tree that the banana was in?
I might have.
I might have cast a couple of them.
I did. It didn't work.
I've heard of somebody marking beds with golf balls in those northern tournaments.
Whoa.
Bananas might be marking 10 pounders on trees for somebody.
Right. No.
Who knows?
Hey, if anybody is from Lake Fork, I know some Lake Fork. I'm gonna text some Lake Fork.
I want you to find out what them bananas was all about. Because I mean, it wasn't like they was just in one creek. They was all over the place. So I don't know if it was, I have no idea. It's just, to this day, I even ask, like, what are old bananas hanging in these trees about? Nobody can tell me.
I'll find out. I got a couple guide buddies on Fork. I'm gonna text them. If you're watching this, drop in the comments if you've seen bananas.
Bananas hanging in them old stumps, them old trees.
You never caught them off of the banana trees?
No.
I'm so confused right now. And there's so many jokes to be made, but I don't.
I'm not making one.
I know you're not. You're not allowed. You're on banana boat gag order. Banana boat was an FLW sponsor. Just taking it.
Kevin Vida. Yes. Got some good Kevin Vida stories, but we can't tell them on here.
Oh, let.
No. Not Vida stories.
What was that girl that was the country?
I think you was. You might have been there. It was at Hurricanes in Nashville. Was you there? That was the night that Luke Clausen got a little squirmish. We're not going to talk about that, but Luke Clausen and Andre Moore.
Oh, squirmish.
Well, it wasn't really a squirmish. Luke Clausen was sitting outside.
What sucks the most about the Tennessee 3 right here is there are so many stories that I'm afraid nobody will tell over July.
I'm not saying nothing. I just got some really good stories about Kevin Vida. It's the best story ever. I think Brad's
heard. No, it ain't either. It ain't the best ever. I know way better than those. You can tell, but we probably.
We're not.
I thought he might have went to Canada with you sometime. Did he go to Canada with you?
No. No, not Vida. No.
Did he ever take wood blocks down to Smith Lake?
What now?
Hey,
you ever listen to, what about John Denver? Down in Alabama. down at some place called Wesley's.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that was no. Yeah.
Hey.
I was like, where's he going? And then I,
That one. Whoa, man.
Oh, those are good times. That's weird, but it's good times. That's a weird place to be.
List from that night. Not on it.
I'll tell that one at a later time. Yeah. We'll save that one for the future.
Right? Yeah, it's one of the weirdest things.
All I'm going to say is Wesley's. It was between day one and day two of the Bass Open. We didn't get much sleep that night, and
And I missed the top 10. FLW company
drove us all. We were chauffeured by the FLW. company ride the whole week.
We had an Uber.
Yeah.
Hey, he's a Bassmaster guy now. He's a big Bassmaster Open winner now.
Hey, he won that tournament. He won that actual tournament.
Dude, yeah, he won that one on the coast side, didn't he?
Yeah. And I told him he was going to win it in the park.
No, that was the year before. That was a different year.
Oh, was that different?
Same lake.
I thought that was
same lake year later.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was a year later. Sorry. I thought it was the same year.
No, he won in the spring. We were there for the fall. We were there in like one of those September opens, like where you really don't want to be there. You really don't want to be there at all. So
get a bite.
We really weren't
those
there.
Those are my favorite ones. The ones that's hard to get a bite. Those are my favorite ones.
I was going to ask you that, Wes, talking about schedules. And I know the answer, but for the lowlifers at home, you'd rather see them kind of dip into the fall with the schedule and come back down south for their old grinders, wouldn't you?
I like those. I like those 12-pound a day derbies. I like those. Those are the ones that you really well before Life Scope. I don't know if that even counts anymore. Life Scope, but or Active Target or Forward Facing Sonar, whatever you want to call it. But I enjoyed those. You know, if you can just figure a little bit. I mean, Brad's getting ready to fish one here in September. It's going to be a little grinder, and it's just if you can figure one little thing out to get that. That one bait or that one piece of structure or cover or whatever it is, you can just figure that one little deal out to get just those four or five or six bites a day. That's the big difference in the fall. You know, it's sometimes it's great in the fall. Sometimes it's just super, super tough in the fall. So it's just, and it's a day by day deal too. So I ain't gonna lie. I miss the Beaver Lake days. I do. I miss the Beaver Lake tournaments. Hey, I caught 12 pounds a day, and I'm in the top 10. Those are the days I missed right there.
Think about Beaver now, though. If you went back with all the timber and live scope, it'd just be a totally different ball game.
Yeah, unless you went there in August. August or September.
Yeah.
Might be different. I know Brad don't want to fish in the fall because he's got things to kill.
Hey, I'm Mike West. We grew up kind of fishing the same way, doing the same stuff. And I love those tournaments. You know, it was kind of, when the Forestville Cups kind of were in that time of the year and kind of set up good for me. It's a mental battle more than anything. And this is going to be used to. Now I don't know that you have tough tournaments. I don't think that like the old tough fall events are obviously going to be night and day different with live scope and forward facing sonar. But I love those grinder deals like what Wes is talking about, where it's just tough. It changes every day. You just figure a little something out and you can kind of run with it and kind of fish a little bit hard headed. But the other swing of that is you can also, it swings the negative just as hard where like you get a good one or two first thing in the morning and you're like, you know what, screw it. I'm going to let it all hang out today and I'm going to just power fish or do whatever. And then you weigh those same two in at the end of the day and then there you are. Yeah. So it's a yin and a yang, and it's a, like anything else though, it kind of reminds me of that, like early in the spring where fish are really getting to, we have a lot, let me back up a little bit. Now it seems like our springs happen a lot faster where fish are making a lot faster move. They move up, they spawn, they're gone. But back in, 15 years ago, you had a lot more drawn out spring, or 10 years ago, where fish moved a lot more through the day. You had a lot more staging and movement and stuff. And that was, I enjoyed the artistic form, I guess it would be the way I would try to define that, of the thought process of staying ahead of the fish, right? And figuring those moves out. And that was like a chess game. And to me, that was what I really was drawn to on tournament bass fishing and what I really liked the most. And those are the two highlights of the year that it really is the most prevalent of those movement. And like you get these fall days, like mid-September, and it can just be, like Wes said, just daylight to dark difference every day that you fish. And I like that. It's different, keeps you moving, keeps you on your toes, and you're not doing the same thing. Like, tournaments to me almost kind of get boring when, you go and they're usually like summertime at Kentucky Lake where you're going to, not that that's boring per se, but you're going to start out idling fishing deep. And, when the tournament ends, what the fish are going to be doing, there's not going to be a whole lot of change really. And so to me, yeah, you get these grinder deals, it's a ebb and flow. So it kind of just keeps you on your toes and keeps me more engaged, I guess.
You can't lock one thing in your hand and do it all day. I think that's what we get in the rut of, like, we go to a lake and we're like, here's what I caught them on in practice, and you lock that in your hand, you're catching them, but you're not catching the right ones to be able to win or to compete. So in the fall, your whole mindset, that's what me, my whole mindset, it switches. It's like, well, I'm going to have to throw a little square bait. I'm going to have to throw a chatter bait. I'm going to have to throw a little spinner bait. I'm going to have to flip some too. So I got an assortment of rods, and I just don't lock one thing in my hand. I go through a rotation. Like, I go in this one flat and I'm doing this and it ain't working. I pick something else up, and it's like the 15 minute rule. Van Dam, he talks about it. I was like, 5 minute rule. If I don't got one on 5 minutes, I'm changing. I think in the spring, you kind of get locked in the spring and pre-spawn, all that, you get locked into doing one thing and you don't really expand on that. I have a hard time with that. I get locked in, I get to catch them on something, and I don't switch to catch something bigger sometimes.
Brad, how many times have you heard Wesley call you on the phone in practice and go, dude, they're on every third tree on a half ounce chatterbait, and you got to pick it up and shake it twice and let it fall, dude. Don't do nothing else, dude. That's it.
He only tells me that. That was only after the tournament's over that he tells me that stuff.
Oh, whatever.
I don't know what's
whatever.
Going on. No, whatever. I'm just kidding. I'm not just gonna blow smoke up his skirt because he's on the phone with one of my best friends. Like, I've been in the boat with everybody, most of everybody on tour these days, and what he's talking about, a lot of people are going to refer to as being a junk fisherman, right? We kind of got that term got thrown around for so long, and really it doesn't do guys like Wesley justice, because that's a specialist technique, just like flipping and everything. And what I call that is reading the bank. You're not just half-ass going down the bank. I'm gonna throw a spinnerbait. I'm tired of getting there's an instinctual reading visually going down the bank. Like, he's looking down there and knows he's casting. I've got about six more casts, and this is going to be I need to pick a square bill up for this application. And it might just be the only cast he makes for 6 hours, but he might catch a 4-pounder on that, because that tree that was laid out just the right angle in the water was just perfect for the way this bait runs. And that's what he's talking about just reading the bank, where you can kind of switch it up and keep your things going. And one of the best I've seen at being able to do that stuff. if I'm, and here's an example I'm going to use. If I'm flipping down the bank, right, I've got a half ounce jig on, I'm just going down, we're flipping at trees, and he's got a 3/8 beaver on, whatever. Like, oh, you know, we'll flip past eight trees. Oh, dude, I need to get a 3/16. I'm falling way too fast. We ain't had a bite. Well, I haven't got a bite because I've not put my jig in front of one space, right? So he gets to the next tree, and then after he makes a change, going from a 3/8 to a 1/4, and he catches one. Is that coincidence? You know, probably not after it's happened so many times I've seen it, but it's easy to discount it as such. And is it? It doesn't matter because it lives in his head, and that's where his confidence lies. But the best I've seen it being able to read the bank, I'm going to call it, and not be a junk fisherman per se. But that's what fits his mold, and that's his specialist. And, you know, the fall of the year is right down his alley for that kind of stuff.
Well, and the rest of the year, too, 42 top 10s in NFL right. Tour history. Speak yeah. for yourself. And, Wes, we're just going to kiss your butt a little bit here. You deserve it.
Whatever.
I'm going to talk about how bad you suck when we get done here in a minute. So don't be getting a big head or anything. Don't
What's that now?
I said, I'm going to talk about how bad you suck here in a minute. So don't be getting
I did. I ain't gonna lie. I sucked all year this year. I sucked.
Welcome to the real world, bud. That's all I can say. Hey, welcome to our world. Now you know how we feel. That's all I can say.
We're on a podcast.
Hey, it's all right. I own it. I know I sucked this year. It's a head game. I got in my head. Couldn't get it out. So well, next year's a fresh start, though, boys.
Right. Brad said instinct, and that was something I had in my notes here when we were talking about YouTube and the learning curve and all that. Yes, it is shorter. But, Brad, I'll back you up. I've spent a lot of hours with the man with the largemouth bass mailbox, Wesley Strader, and between the vines there. I have spent some time in the back deck of his boat and watching him. What you just said is something that it's hard for him to even teach because you're right. It lives between his ears. And all great anglers that you get to spend time with, and Brad, you're the same way at breaking down water and then going these clutch decisions that are like they just flow. And I've seen that. I remember being on Smith Lake with Wes, and Wes probably won't even remember it, but
I do. Swizzing a creek, throwing a jig.
Yeah. And he makes this change on a bait size, like you just said, Brad. And he's like, a fish chased his bait in. Then he goes, oh, I need to go to this weight because of the way that fish reacted. And he went to a heavier jig and it was like next three trees. Don't, don't. And I'm like, what did I just witness, dude? And I'm sitting there going, well, I'd have just been like, man, did you see that one chase my jig? Damn, he almost got it. And I'd have just kept throwing my jig thinking, well, they want a jig, but maybe I need to swim it or what. And watching him though, just go. And there was another time I was on, I forget where we were at, Wes, in this one, but you were talking about a certain, and I'm not even gonna say it on here because it's so juicy in my opinion, but there was a certain type tree and you said, oh, there'll be one in that one. There won't be any in these, but it'll be in that tree. It was a yeah, you know exactly what it is.
I know exactly where we're at. I know exactly where we're at.
But I do too. I think it's coming back to me, but I'm sneakier than that though, but it's this bank full of trees and he goes, that one's going to have the bite in it. Trust me. And I'm like, I'm still going to fish these other ones. I don't care what you say. And we don't get a bite and we get to that one and he flips his cricket in there and he goes, don't. And it was in practice. And he goes, told you. And he shook it off. And then you go a little bit further down the bank and there's another one of those type trees. And he goes, well, you want to bet there's one in there? I'm like, ah, whatever. And we fished all the other trees leading up to it. And he pitches his stuff in there and he goes, don't again. And he goes, got another one. Shakes it off, and I'm going, I mean, what did I just witness? Of course, being in the boat to see it now, I look for that, right? Like, I know that now because it's a learned behavior. It's a learned, but that instinct, you cannot teach it for the most part, man. It's there. Right. And I know all these younger guys, yeah, they're great with electronics, but they're still, I'm watching guys, there's an instinctual thing in the live scope game too, in the forward phase, there is. And there's, because doing MPFL coverage, I watch guys like Patrick Walters a lot in the last 2 years and he's fantastic at it, but the dude's got 15 rods on his front deck, all different kind of weighted baits, all different. And he will work a rotation on a fish he sees like, well, that one should bite. And so I can't, because there are a lot of people that don't like it at all, right? I mean, we see that. There's a lot of people that feel left out now because it's a big thing, but there's a skill to it A million.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hell yeah, for sure.
You know,
you have me, I throw it and they never buy my stuff over. Oh, he chased to the bottom and he didn't eat it. Oh, what a, you know, that's the thing. It's like knowing what bait to throw. What do you do to adjust to get them to bite?
Listen, I've got a lake by me that has more 4 to 6 pound bass than I've ever seen anywhere, right? There's no stripers. It's bass and bait. I go out there all the time. I cannot tell you how much they ignore you. It's ridiculous. And when they'll fire sometimes, but it's like for people to go, well, if I had that,
right.
Everybody.
That's kind of the thing, right? Everybody on tour does have it.
They do have it. Yes.
Everybody's got it. I've got it. Wes got it on his boat, but the same guys are good with it all the time just because that's their special. That hits home for them, right? That lines up with what they understand that better than most. And that's, you see, you know, it's the era where they're running away with it. Will it always be that way? I don't think so. It reminds me a lot of the Alabama rig. We're starting to have those same conversations that we had back when that was a hot topic. And it's kind of following that same path of controversy now. And it just seems like they're in certain parallels or similar parallels to me.
Can we just bring the Alabama rig back already to prove?
I mean, why wouldn't you? Right? I mean, you know, but whatever.
And I think you probably could because they don't bite it like they used to. That's for sure.
What I mean, we ban a lure, but then forward facing's okay, and I'm all for it, right? Like, obviously, I've
got the solution.
Let's hear it. The solution.
We need to have 2 retro tournaments every year.
That's where paper I was going to call this, by the way.
Paper map, flasher, no GPS.
David Fritz is going to win both of them.
Negative, big guy. Depends on if they're in the early spring or in the – I want in the spring and the fall. We don't want none of that summer stuff. That's horrible.
Yeah, that'd be bad. But no, I'm with you. And you see a cry for that on in comments. And I give commenters a hard time on all bass fishing posts because they just lose their minds. They're so passionate either one way or the other, right? But you see that a lot. That's a consistent comment. And I do think the organization that does that first, that says, hey, here we go. We're going old school this week. The rules have changed for this one event. Dude, it'll get watched, but I think what you will see, though, and I think both of y'all agree, same guys will catch them.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to probably go similar to like a NASCAR model for me, where you kind of see them get away from their base customer group and interest, and they kind of realize it, and then they're going to kind of circle back now, where you see like NASCAR having a dirt track on Bristol, and maybe not every – track is going to have that, but they're just going to sprinkle in some things for fan interest. And I think that that's what bass fishing is going to have to do. And I want to tell a quick story that kind of affects me in that realm of last year. I had a sponsor reach out, and they had just been to a big conference, an outdoor riders conference, about the loss of value of a tournament bass angler due to not having as much engagement with the audience because their backs are, you know, showing all the time, they're staring at their screen. And it was a big deal, you know, in the future, these companies are looking at, you know, we're getting back into what I was talking about earlier about the business side of it. And how many times did the bass fishing industry watch Kevin Van Dam sit on the front deck of his boat on a Nitro and he's cranking a 6XD looking back at the camera with another 6-pounder. Boy, these quantum fishing rods really, the KVD cranking rods really hold the big, that kind of stuff, right? Like product. You're competing, but driving product sales. And now I just, you're selling a lot of graphs. And so again, you're seeing the paradigm shift of that stuff to the electronics. But yeah, it cost me money. I lost my sponsor. And that was one of the things they were talking about was the loss of value for tournament anglers. And they were refocusing a lot of their monies and just didn't think that had a impact that it used to. And a lot of that was the engagement on television and social media due to the direct effect of forward-facing sonar. Not saying that's my belief. I had that presented to me. May have just been a good excuse to fire me. I'm cool with that too. But but seriously, it's a topic. I'd like to hear your guys' take on where you see this going for a future. Do we see it go the Alabama rig to where there's an effectiveness loss in a few years? Maybe we're like fish starting, maybe they feel a beam or feel when the transducer shines on them and that starts being affecting them differently. Now you're fishing really for a class of fish mostly that haven't been fished for. So what happens when they kind of get pressure now and and see that moving forward. Maybe it doesn't change for a long, long time. It's going to be curious and an interesting thing to sit back and watch for the future and see how that unfolds.
It's definitely opened up. It's opened some eyes up to like, just like where they was at Champlain where they were at. I mean, dude, like I couldn't believe that it's catching them out there in the open water, just rolling around in deep water like that. So I don't.
Not one or two of them. I think I saw a clip with Cody Huff on Instagram that Bass put up there, and they were scanning back and forth, and it was like 40 or 50 of them, and they're all big ones. And I'm just like you know, we all saw that stuff with 2D for so many years, and you'd see it all kind of get spaghetti, but you have no concept of really what's below you. And man, that was pretty impressive to see that kind of stuff.
Listening to Zona last week at Champlain, blown away.
Oh, yeah.
What was
you can tell he's sitting there going,
yes,
I have no idea.
It's genuine.
I didn't think, I mean, you know, years ago, you see guys catch them on their 2D suspended down, but how many of those schools, you had to go right over one of those schools to be able to see it and catch it.
Right.
I mean, now you just idling. Okay. There they are over there. And you don't even make a cast. Now you just like prime example, Cody Huff just sat down in his boat and just started idling during the tournament. Just started idling. Goes, oh, there they are. Shut down. And that was that big group. I think it was one of that big groups that was underneath those owl wives or whatever it was up there in Champlain. Just started catching them again. I'm like, wow, that's crazy.
Ona said on live, he said, you know, I fished in this area a lot, but we're fishing points or humps, drop offs. And he goes, and you might catch a few and then go, oh, well, they're just not there. He's like, well, of course, there were thousands of them behind us. Right. No idea. And I think that's the cool thing for forward facing for me is what we're learning. You know, I can go down a stretch of docks now and see whether there are fish under those docks or not. Used to, I'd just go and skip my jig. And if they didn't bite it, wow, there's no fish up there. And that still might be the case because they might be out behind me. But used to have a way to freaking look for them suspended in the middle of a dang pocket once boat traffic got up or whatever caused them to leave. But I do think that you keep saying we're fishing for fish we've never fished for. And that's Champlain. I think that's fair to say, but man, when you get down here, whether it's Pickwick, Gunnersville, we are fishing for fish that we fish for a lot. They just might be a little off the river ledge, suspended out. And we're catching things that used to not want to be messed with. That's why they weren't up there on the ledge. Right. They weren't that speed, but we're getting in this weird space where I'm seeing guys, listen, we're throwing a freaking fuzzy dice on a spinning rod and a hook, like, dude, crap out to make some of these bass.
Those belong on a mirror in a car.
You should go that look. You should hang two of them up on your rear view.
I'm going to. I'm going to tell you the two coolest things that I've ever seen on Ford Faces R. We was at, we was here at Watts Bar 2 years ago for the Bass Pro Tour. And it's really the first time I'd ever really got out offshore and just stayed offshore, you know, with my active target. When you see one of those big spoonbill, he dies and goes down and you see his gills when he does that filter feed and you just see his gills open up on here like, God, I cannot believe I can actually see that with my electronics. And then the other cool thing was when we was at St. Clair this past time, you'd have one of those big sturgeon come up and jump and just bust water and you'd spin that thing over and you'd see that thing. Just, it's the coolest thing. So you see a 6 foot long fish just swimming, you know, just, and you can see the whole thing. You see that big bent tail. I mean, that to me, that's pretty cool when technology's come that far. I mean, I'm still not as good at it as I'd like to be, but those are two pretty cool things that I've saw on that.
Oh yeah. Yep. It's neat to watch all the fish, the way they act, you know, where that's catfish. Like I'm finally getting to where I can tell the difference, you know, now a few years in, but it's cool for me. You see gar come up and break and they'll go straight up off the bottom. And they look like a toothpick, you know, swimming straight up, like just almost just straight up and down vertical. And then they come up and do their deal, break, and then they go back down. It's really cool to watch that happen. And
I know you live on the Tennessee, you fish the Tennessee River a lot in the wintertime. Have you seen Skipjack on there, what they do?
I've seen them, I know, because I've caught them on a jigging spoon by accident.
Well, those skipjack, you is amazing how fast they swim in the wintertime. Like, you'll be fishing a ball of bait or whatever, pan around, and all of a sudden you'll see five or six, and dude, they're just zooming. You can't even hardly keep up. And you're like, skipjack, and you'll catch one. And you're like, what's a skipjack? Bass just don't swim that fast in the wintertime. They're just zooming. It's pretty, it's fun to me. It's fun. That's the thing about that I like, is being able to distinguish species of fish, like catfish, a drum shows up different than any other fish. He just looks like a big old giant, big smiley face out there swimming in the water. You know what I mean? So, Ranger!
Yeah. Hey, it's National Dog Day, isn't it? We had to make an appearance for Ranger Lee here.
I think
yeah, mine's laying in the floor when I knew him.
It's always National Something Day, but I think it's National Dog Day or Hot Dog Day. I'm not sure.
I'll introduce Ranger. Let's say,
send him to the low life.
This is my duck dog, Ranger Lee. He's making an appearance in the world. He's just mad because it's goose season here in Tennessee next week. He's ready to go. Come to Dallas.
Say hi, Ranger. Say hi to Ranger. Going? Get out of my lap.
You too? You're
handling? I actually think it's supposed to be in the lap.
Mine are in the heat. Mine are not allowed in the bar and grill. There's too much crap to chew up.
That's a good point. A goose in there, he'd be doing some damage up there in the bar.
Goose pre.
Is that the one that chewed the wall? Is that the one that chewed the wall out when you first moved there to the new place or the steps or something? He chewed something up.
The neighbor's chickens is what he was chewing up.
Oh,
all the neighbor's chickens.
That's a Southern Baptist dog, is it?
Yeah, oh yeah. Loves it.
The Lawrenceburg. Loves chickens. The Lawrenceburg Police Department brought him back in the back of a squad car while I was at Grand Lake for an FLW tour event. when the conversation opens with your, hang on, let me see if I have this here. Your police, and he's killed 11 chickens. 11 chickens. And it was in a neighborhood, and she's like, "Oh, officer, well, I'll just go see them and we'll take care of it. And we'll pay for the chickens." And he said, "Ma'am, it would be my suggestion to not go talk to these people for a
while." Oh no.
And,
that's the best ever.
And since that day, they call the cops on us for just about everything out here. Shoot some fireworks, cops. Shoot a .22, cops. shoot some Tannerite, which is legal, cops.
I mean, you offered to pay for the chickens. I mean, for God's sakes.
I offered to take AFC either or, you know, but yeah,
bucket chicken. Hey, listen, sorry about your chickens, but here we got them in a bucket. It's got a kernel on it. There you go.
A bad gift is fried chicken for their live chickens, but to be fair though, dude, they were very to take up for Goose and myself. They were very
aggressive chickens.
They had it coming. No,
they had switchblades on their feet, on their legs.
Yeah. Where I'm from, you might want to be nervous of them chickens like that.
That's what I'm saying.
No, I'm saying these guys, they weren't invested in the chicken game.
Hold on just a second. Was they on them little old dog? Did they have them little things set up where they had the runners on their legs? If they was, that's not even a fair fight. I mean, he was tied to a stump, and the dog just eat him off his lanyard. That's not even cool, Duke. That's not even cool, Luke.
Listen, we don't have many cockfights around here. So
that chicken's probably worth about $10,000.
I'm just saying they never got back in the chicken game. If all it takes is a big white lab to ruin your chicken business, then you didn't need to be in the chicken business. All right, because
do they travel to the Philippines a lot? Is that what you're trying to say?
I'm lost on that. I got no idea.
I think they talk about
chicken fighting in the Philippines is a big sport, dude.
You can do it.
When you leave the arena, you can buy the losers out there off the table.
Have you never been to a chicken fight, Wesley?
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well,
I've been a witness to a few.
Okay.
In my backyard.
Well, I think Goose might need to get in a few of them, dude. He's obviously the champ. He's like Brock Lesnar of the chicken world.
Yeah.
He's going to tattoo a big old knife on his back.
like Conor McGregor. Goose comes walking up in your yard like, sup, fighting chicken be damned. Goose is on it.
Hell, Goose weighs more than I do. I don't want to fight him. What are you talking about?
Goose got them feet about this big for a lab. He will hurt you. He's a
Goose.
He used to come up here because my office is up here too. And I'd bring him up here a bunch before I got, when it was really low budget and I didn't have all the camera gear and crap that I have now. But dude, just his tail alone, he's like a T-Rex. Like when he turns around, just stuff's getting knocked over. So Goose is not allowed in the bar and grill unless it's really clean, and it never is. Damn dog.
Oh,
there you go.
You gotta love him though.
Hey, listen, he got poisoned. Goose is a survivor. While we're just on National Dog Day, after the chicken incident, he may have got out of the kennel again, and one of the neighbors poisoned him with quite a pile of rat poison. Is how the vet. Hey,
I went.
Wonder what neighbor it was.
No idea. You know,
I just went through that myself. That right there, like the left ear too.
Really?
Oh yeah. While I was at Garnersville, she didn't get into rat poison. She caught a rat that had ate rat poison. Still the same thing. Not good.
Yeah, man. He Goose went down to the woods to lay down to die. Like one of those.
Oh, yeah.
Came to come to you. And I guess he threw it all up and we got him to the vet and they were like, hey, he had a lot of rat poison in his system. He's good. So Goose has got 9 lives like a damn cat, man. Chicken nugget. Marissa will kill
these days. All I got to say is this is the most expensive dog I've ever owned in my life. Let's just leave it there. Jeez, old Pete. I didn't love a little thing. I would have said
just because of the rat poison situation. You had to.
Oh yeah, yeah. It was
you get you one of those good emergency vet bills.
I could probably get about dogs. 2 cents. I could have bought 2 power poles for what I got this dog right now. Woo.
You better tie that joker to a rope.
She don't even go out. When she goes out to use the bathroom, I'm out there watching her get back in here. I ain't going through that again. Oof.
You got too much invested now.
Heck, now I might. Yeah, you don't get out of my sight now. Get out there, use the bathroom, get back. She don't like being out there anyway. She likes air conditioning.
Oh, I got one of those. I got one that's half blue healer and half blue tick that I found in the woods a few years ago. And she's the laziest rascal ever. For the most part, she likes her some air conditioning.
So she's an Australian loving vol fan. Is that what you're trying to say?
An Aussie vol fan, kind of like
an Aussie vol fan.
I was just going to say that sounds like Carl. I wonder if he's seen Rocky Top yet.
Hey, I wonder if Carl's been to a football game yet.
I don't know.
Maybe he needs to go to one this year.
We might have to take him.
We may need to.
Dude, you talk about changes in the industry. That guy is proven. I mean, how hard work, like you keep getting knocked in the teeth and getting back up. The guy has qualified for the league series, got booted, went to FLW tour, fought his way back in, was truly almost out of the elites, had no money, and then won that 10 killer tournament, was able to have the place he's got now just because of that. Crazy story. You can watch that story on Boats and Pros with Luke Duncan from several years ago. Anyways,
really?
Yeah, you can. You get. Yeah, I'll post a link here. But this year came like 34th or 35th in the AOI's best, most consistent year ever. Like it's just crazy to see. The guy comes from a continent that doesn't have bass,
but they got Barramunda.
Yeah, they do.
The baby pattern, man. It's the baby pattern.
Unreal, man. So crazy to see, dude.
Explain that, the baby pattern.
The baby pattern? You do win or do good when you have a baby?
Oh, yeah, you got to have a baby to win. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Got you.
Are you
going to –
look for Wesley. He'll just be holding different babies at every tournament.
If I just go buy a pack of diapers, would that help him?
Hey, he'd be like Joe Biden, never baby
food. Can I buy some Gerbers or some diapers or something?
Smelling them.
W is like the Joe Biden going to be smelling babies. Yeah,
just smelling them babies. That's what they just
take it.
Just like the smell. You know what? Like the handler has to go behind Joe Biden and like watch what movie makes to make sure he's not going to do something really creepy to the kid in front of everybody. They're like, don't know whether to grab his arms yet or not. We're going to be with Wes. So gonna be on that.
Oh, God.
But back to the Carl, dude. I don't want to take away. I want to brag on Carl. I don't know him super, super well. I know him pretty decent. We've been turkey hunting a time or two, brought them up to the house and spent some time around them. Just an incredible. And that's another thing. I've never heard anybody say anything bad about him in his all of his years. It's every,
I haven't either.
And that's a rare in our sport is very rare. And that's just a hats off to a mindset and just an incredible, positive, hardworking dude that everybody wants to be around. Right. And that's just, there's a few of those guys in our sport. You know, I think Carl's one, Brandon Polnick was one, Aaron Martins was another, you know, just guys that just, people gravitate to out of their positivity. And I think just that's Carl's a perfect example of that, man. Just keeping your head down, not worrying about what outside influence says. We're just going to fish, and we know, believe in ourselves, we're going to get the end goal. And that's what he's done. And man, he's here in Tennessee. He made a beautiful home for himself. He's got a nice family now. And dude, that's like, if you look up the American dream in the dictionary, I mean, that's pretty much the way he's it, right? Isn't that what everybody strives for?
I've got another theory behind this. If you marry a Polnick, you'll probably win too.
Well, there you go. There you go. It just might be what it is.
I think they're running out of those, though. They're running out of those. Just kidding.
Now, like, you've been Googling that.
Well, if your name ends in Polnick, you're a winner if your name ends in Polnick. So,
next year, babies, marrying a Polnick.
Marry a Polnick. Yeah.
Wes going to show up to the tournament next year. He's going to have a kid.
Two babies and a Polnick.
and Stevie Wonder sunglasses, so it doesn't matter what he does.
Right.
All chaos.
Hey, it's a sight fishing tournament, guys.
Oh, don't mind my CNI dog here, official.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
My CNI dog, it's here because I can't see anything. So
I'm done. I'm out on that one.
Wes?
Hey, I'm a long ways from done. I'm a long ways from done because
I know you are. That's why I know where this is headed. If you keep on, this is
going. Hey, let me belly up to the bar here, boy. I got heavy shoulders.
Listen,
when you're selected to be one of the 80 best in the world, you know you're handsome.
Here we go.
We're the damn authority. We're the authority. If you're lucky enough to own a rod and reel. That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to stop there. We'll save that for part two.
You're a very hard person to rattle, but I just want you to like rip the t-shirt. Like I am a real, like go full Wes-a-mania here and turn loose, dude. Let's go. I am a real American.
You know, them bridges that you need to, you know, them bridge builders, they move around, boys. That's all I got to say.
Yo, Adrian, you remember Rocky? He's got the swelled up eye at the end.
Yeah.
Adrian.
Those bridge builders, yeah.
Those bridge builders move around. You don't need to mess with those engineers. Those engineers could end up, just remember that. Best piece of advice I can give anybody listening, don't aggravate a bridge builder.
Oh, it's the best piece of advice is the ass you kick could be the ass you got to kiss tomorrow.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Advice would be is to make sure you got plenty of credit on your credit card so you can call in and play your deposit next year. Because after what I saw Brandon McMillan do to Kathy Fillon to her face, I'm pretty sure he could fish any tournament he wants to. I care less about what I got to say. Swipe the card, baby. They'd be happy to see you.
I don't even know what that's about, but okay.
You don't remember that? What?
No, I don't remember that.
What? How could Kathy forget
it? Oh, she hasn't. Trust me. Ain't nobody forgot that.
What's this all about? That was asleep during this?
You were in Okeechobee when Brandon McMillan got DQ'd?
Oh. Yeah. Okay, I got you. No, I remember now. Yeah.
Dude, I see him now. They're best friends. I'm like, you know, you can come back from anything is what I say.
Hey, forgiveness is key. Forgiveness is
Spencer
key.
Spencer Sheffield got them. I mean, he was like Jesus on the cross up there, dude, with the three guys up there. They done crucified him in the next week. Hell, these boat flipping a 6-pounder on there. What do you mean? Just a slight touch. We're going to let you in. We're going to promote you. I mean, dude, what are you going to do? What you got to worry about?
Wesley's getting nervous.
I got him right where I want him now, so I got to poke the buttons on. Keep him going.
But that's because I know you. You don't have the stop button. You don't have a brake. You don't even have a governor. You don't have a Jake brake. It's just
no brakes, baby.
I'm hitting this wall as hard as I can hit with my head, and if it kills me, I'm just dead. That's the way it is, Brad.
Well, that's kind of how it is with me too, Wes.
We're buds. We all know each other. We know where we can go and where we can't. I'm stopping right now. Mister, I'm going to bust the door off the bathroom door off its hinges.
Gosh,
man, it was small. I'm claustrophobic.
I'm nervous. A new intro for Low Budget Live that includes that.
Oh, yeah. Yes, you do.
A new intro that's like a minute long with Biloxi Blues playing, and that's the end of it, is Brad breaking through the door.
He should just go ahead and join WWE right now.
Oh, gosh. Here we go.
I believe, Brad, if I'm right, that was the night we cooked all that stuff. Spank cooked for us down at Seminole. Mm-hmm. I think my mom and dad were there. Because I remember my mom being like, well, Brad got a little rowdy.
And then if I had a dollar for every time I heard that one.
Yeah.
That was, I thought y'all was holding the door on me. Like, I had a hold of the door handle.
They was holding it on his
jet. I think there was.
I saw the video. It's just like, they're like, hey, there's something wrong with the door. Well, there's something really wrong with the door now.
It opened in, not out.
There's no door there.
Busted the door facing. Oh, man. And just for an off day, you know, headed into an off day for a bass tournament. Yeah. Just 30 of us in there. Just not even really that wild, but that's when a party starts, when a guy breaks a door down.
Yeah, that's a good start. That's a good start. We had a good time, though. It was a good night.
Hey, I miss those days. I miss all those days.
Yeah.
I text W this week. So when you were always camping, Brad, so you missed all the fun with me and the W and most of the time. And we would do these lives. This was before I ever did LBL. Like 2015, 2016, because this started in 17. When did you go to the Elites, W? Was it 17 or 18?
18.
We were there 17. But we would do these Instagram, and I started LBL August of 17 when I actually started trying to do a show with it. But I had somebody last week, Colton Story, shout out to Colton. He's been watching for years and years and years. And he said, he goes, because I was talking about it being my 6-year anniversary in the last couple of weeks of the show. And he goes, man, I'm so OG. I remember the Wesley Strader and you in the hot tub days on Instagram Live.
I remember that one.
It was me, you, and Steph.
Beaver Lake. Yes.
And Swindle's in the comments on live.
Bear. That was where we stayed, where the bear was in. They had the mountain bear and the rock climbing wall. Those were the good thing.
Yeah. That's when I won. Was it Beaver Lake when we were in the rock?
Guys sent me that picture, and I had to send it to somebody to Photoshop Dumb and Dumbers. Remember when they're in that heart-shaped jacuzzi tub, and I put your and Luke's face over that and sent it back to you because I didn't know how to Photoshop? I just sent it to my buddy to be able to do it. Now I send everything to Luke so he can Photoshop it for me and send it back to me now. So,
yeah, because I've spent too much money on equipment for the podcast so I can Photoshop. But yeah, that's where LBL started. Me and Wesley in a cell phone. No matter how the day went, we would go live. Normally Wesley's days went a lot better than mine. Obviously he's still fishing, and I have a podcast where I talk about fishing all the time. Piss people off.
Good gig though. It's a good
gig. Consistent gig. I walk out of the house, I walk to the shop, I hit record, I do it once a week. It's good. I'm grateful to get to do it, man. It's damn fun. We got to do one of these in person, by the way, where we just set up us three and just go, because those are the most fun. But I appreciate y'all doing this today just because it's as close as we can get to hanging out.
Absolutely. Hey,
let's just set it up and do it.
There's so many. This fall,
we probably should just do it during deer season somewhere.
Yes, we should. We should.
How about that?
Around the campfire somewhere.
It'd be a lot of fun. To do it. And I appreciate y'all doing it very much. And I hope to y'all listening, this didn't turn into just a bitch session. That's not really what it meant to be.
Yeah, it was his buddies kicking it. That's all it was. You know,
it was. And
you knew what I was talking about behind this. When we ain't on camera, it would be not good. But, you know, every once in a while, you got to get things out a little bit. It's all fun and games here. We're just joking around a little bit, but it's good times.
No doubt about it, buddy. No doubt about it. Make sure you're following Wesley Strader and Brad Knight. Brad will post every now and then. You never know.
Not really. Nah, not really.
Every now.
Nah, so I did. I kind of got – here's where I'm at on my social media. Like, I kind of got to this spring where I just got tired of doing it. I got on Instagram. I didn't want to post it. I didn't want to look at it. You know, and this is something I noticed, people. You live life through your phone, right? So something cool happens and you're – I'm going to use this vanilla. And you're looking at it through your, oh my God, this is really cool. And like you look at something cool happening, everybody's looking at the screen as it's happening. Nobody's looking at it. I went through this kind of weird deal. And I went on this turkey hunt in South Dakota, a public land deal by myself, just drove out there to finish my turkey slam. And we're kind of doing some social stuff on it. And I kind of found myself doing that. You know, every landmark you saw would be cool. I'd be like, oh, I got to get it. And I was like, man, I just don't feel like I'm like living this. It bothered me a little bit, and I got on social media and everybody's kind of posted the same. We all have to do this stuff, right? We all have sponsored obligations, and it kind of gets to where it kind of bleeds. And dude, I just needed a break, man. I was like, dude, the summertime kind of rolled around with my family. My little girl's now in middle school for the first year, and did some family stuff and just kind of got away from social for a little while, man. I'm trying to get back this fall. Kind of doing some stuff. I like to share a lot of the things that I get to go and do and see, a lot of hunting trips and things. It's really cool to get to share the memories and stuff. But, man, just needed a little bit of a reset, to be honest with you. So anybody actually follows along with me out there, do that stuff, kind of wonders why I haven't been on socials in a while. There you go. So just needed a little reset break in my life. You know, with all the fishing buyout, sellout stuff, you know, kind of was just mentally taxing on me on the whole fishing industry side for a long time, man. And just you know, I just kind of got to the rock bottom part of it and was just like, I need a reset. So now I feel pretty good about it. You know, maybe next year come back on track and kind of get to fish why I love it again. And Wesley and I have had a lot of these conversations, and he may dive into this deeper than I will. But, you know, it was really hard on me that you aspire to get to something your whole life and work your freaking ass off, right? And your family sacrifices, and you finally get there. And you're getting there and you're working hard and you're, and then it's just like, you kind of get the rug jerked out from under your feet. It really is something I did, you know, whether or not it's your fault or not, that's irrelevant. It was a little hard on me. I'm a not change guy. I like to kind of get in the lane. And once we get there, we're just going to ride it out. And yeah, man, it was just a couple of years of turmoil. Kind of had a lot of outside business stuff that I kind of started endeavor on. A lot of life pressures kind of just wrapped up on me a while, and it kind of just hit me a little bit. And I just needed a reset, man. And that's why I've tried to work hard on myself. You know, the mental state of that, you know, get just frustrated and mad. I'm a kind of guy that doesn't have a lot of middle ground, right? Like, I either want to hug you or hit you. I don't just ride that middle wave.
And I'm just glad I'm not on the hitting end of it.
Yeah. So for me, man, it was, that was just kind of where I was at. It was a social media reset. I didn't want to, I fished the opens this year, some of them, and I didn't really want to participate in a lot of them. I needed a break, a reset. I don't know if burnout's the word, but I just tried to kind of work through that the best way I can, and hopefully we're there and we can get back in and enjoying bass fishing and doing what we love to do.
I'm not exactly where Brad's at, but you know, I've been thinking about this a lot, and when I first started fishing, the less I knew, the better off I was. And now I've gotten to the age of where I know more, and it affects the way it affects me.
Yeah. So
this next year's goal is to just block everything out. I don't want to know nothing. If you come up to me and you got something negative to say about something, I don't want to hear it. Just get out and just walk on. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear nothing. What somebody did, if somebody cheated, somebody didn't cheat, I don't want to hear it. Because that doesn't affect my performance at all. But when it gets in my ears and I think I'm being cheated, that affects me. So this next year, if you got something negative to say and you're going to come up to me and say, hey, such and such is doing this and doing that, I don't want to know. Just walk on. Don't want to hear about it. I'm going to be me. till the day I die, from this moment forward going on, I ain't going to worry about nobody else but myself. I'm going to get back to loving what I love to do. And if I win more tournaments, that's great. And if I don't, I'm still Wesley Strader, and I'm still going to be Wesley Strader till the day I die.
Boom.
I love that, man. And look, y'all know I'm right there with y'all as far as a hard reset. I don't post on social near as much. Brad, going back to what you're saying, it all, to me, and the industry did this to itself, but it all starts to look the same, sound the same. And it doesn't matter, even if you're a guy like the W, who's been really focused on doing social media about as long as I have. You know, you and I, and Brad, you jumped on that wave too, way before everybody was doing it. And I don't want to we did this before everybody, but Wesley and I can remember, though, you know, when I started kind of building a quote following, I hate that word, but building a following, when Wes and I roomed together, even when I was a co-angler, and we would do silly videos or post just goofy stuff, just throw whatever out there, just being ourselves. And at no point in that was it only sponsor driven. We were just having fun.
Just doing what we normally do. Right.
Just sharing an insight into who we are and what we are. And that's really, to me, what social media is still about. But then once people, you know, it turns into this for-profit center that it is, right?
Right.
It all, like my feed, y'all know this, if I go on a bass fishing, you know, a pro week of any kind, whether it's BPT, an open or an elite, whatever, it all looks the same. It does. Hey, we're going out boat number 77, check in 3 o'clock, FLW.com. Pew! I mean, it's all the same, you know, and it does kind of run together. And we kind of, I don't want to say set the bar, but there weren't many people doing it back then. And I think now it gets to me, because I'm like, man, I don't want to have to, like you're saying, Brad, I don't want to have to video my fishing trip that I'm on just so I can make content, right? Like, I just want to be fishing. If I got a camera in the boat and something cool happens, okay. If something worthy happens, that's cool. I'll share it. But I'm not this guy. I don't get in the habit of, I don't post every day. You know, I'm just don't, sponsors love it. I get it. But then at the same time, I worry if it falls on deaf ears. If it's not
organic, that's a problem. Yes. It has to be organic. Organics get more views and more participation, more following than you scripting out something. You're sitting there, well, I got to do this post for such and such and such and such. What they don't take in consideration, yeah, you got that out there, but it wasn't organic, and you didn't get nowhere near as many views on it as you would have just by being yourself and incorporating it into what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? Just like the good old days. Like, when was it, Smith Lake, the bass, the Alabama fact, the Alabama has the – fattest girls on the planet. Girls, I mean, come on, dude. I mean, that wasn't even scripted. I'm just like, hey, grab your camera, I got something to say. You know what I mean? It's just, that's where I think we lose it on social media. I mean, these guys do a good job of putting a camera guy on their boat and they doing this and doing that. And that's great. But I can't do that. I don't.
That's just, not me.
You would Nor get some stuff that there would be some stuff on there that wouldn't be good.
Polinick was the benchmark for that. He did it. I did it in 2019 with my boy Austin Boyd. And it's expensive. Okay. I tried it and it's expensive and it's a lot. I think that I've always said that about Brandon, for him to have the success he has with Kyle always around and to be able to be the fisherman that he is amazing, because I don't think people realize how much time that takes to do what they do. Now, Kyle's a pro, and so he just kind of is in the background a lot of times. It takes a lot to orchestrate the camera boats for each event, and there's so much extra burden that comes with that. Now I feel like they're a dime a dozen. Everybody's got a camera guy. There are a lot of great camera guys out there that edit these great videos. It's all really epic stuff, but again, it's like it's all starting to look the same, sound the same, feel the same, and so what's the next thing from that? I don't know.
And see, it gets back into what you get into it for. I got into this stuff to bass fish tournaments and to know the 3/8 ounce to a 1/4 ounce weight when you get to a certain trees. That's the stuff I like. I'm not into it. If I wanted to be a Hollywood film producer, I'd have got into the film. But that gets into, there's a lot of different avenues, right? So you got a ton of different ways you can get information out there. But that wasn't even on the speck of the radar when I got into this deal. So that go ahead.
No, I said, we know what kind of movies you'd have got into. It wouldn't have been no Hollywood produced.
It'd have been hunting videos. That's what it'd have been. Hunting shows. But, man, I'm a pretty private dude, and I can't imagine living your life with somebody walking around documenting it all the time. There's a camera in your face, dude. I don't care about living any life where you go anywhere where anybody knows who you are. Like, dude, that's no life to me. I want to go just be normal and, you know, go hunt and fish and do what I want to do. The whole deal of this isn't to get rich. We bitch about the money, but the money is just fun coupons to get you to do whatever you want to do anyway. But there's so much more to life than just fishing that I want to do, right? You want to go to the mountains and elk hunt, or you want to go on a duck hunt to Canada or whatever, you know, and that's the dedication to bass fishing now to have tournament success. You're seeing with the young guys with the forward facing sonar and all the information out there. It makes it tough, man. The dedication you have to your craft, and it's now more than ever. So it makes it, if you want to do other things and have a family and kind of getting off topic here, but it's even more stressful stuff for you, harder to do.
The guys that can do it with a family is what impresses me too. Like you got three kids, man. I mean, where's the ball games falling at? You got to be at a ball game. I mean, you know, I went through all that and
yeah. Well, you're not at them.
That's cheer, competition cheer, and you gotta rush home to do this and do that. That's to me the guys that still win or very successful, and they got a fan. Dude, that's a load, yeah. Dude. That's take Luke Duncan for example. He's got 72 kids. He had to be at 42 basketball games in a week. You know,
they have some I don't even know about. Let's be honest, they may be some scattered around.
Yours are all about grown now. You're fixing to break out of that though.
Maybe he's hoping they are.
You got two that, yeah.
I hope nobody sees Low Budget Live and they're like, Dad.
Dad.
He looks awful. Wait a minute, Junior. Get over here and stand beside the TV.
Mom, I thought his faces. Dad ran away with the circus. This guy was traveling circus. What is this?
Dad, he sells boat parts.
Hey, your dad was a traveling boat parts. Wait a second.
Traveling boat parts salesman. Yeah.
Some poor kid out there with this face, bless their heart. Yeah. None of them look like me, thank God.
Lucky. Yeah, to get back to what we were talking about, hats off to the guys that can go perform at high level and deal with all that stuff, like going around. It's like trying to read a book with somebody waving their hand in front of your face, to me, what I kind of related to. Like, I can't imagine like Van Damme competing at the level he did for so many years with all that stuff going on around him and having to, like, man, just it's nuts.
That I think he's a guy though that's like a Polnick, and he would have never missed a beat. Probably, you know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah, 100%.
But there are so many folks like you said that just want to fish. They just listen. Patrick Walters is one of those. I think that's what I realize. It's funny the last couple of weeks. My buddy Tanner Lyons that films boats and pros for me, works for MPFL. He's been with Patrick on the road documenting the last 2 weeks of the season, and because I give Patrick a hard time because he's not more open on social media. Here we are talking about that, but Patrick's got one of the most amazing personalities in the sport, dude. He's hilarious. He's
super nice guy.
Super nice guy, super informative, but he cares nothing. He's like, dude, I just want to go bass fishing.
Like, he can stick a boat good too. He can stick it well.
Stick a boat?
Stick it. Like, get it stuck. Best boat stuck I've ever seen in my life.
Where? I got to hear this.
There's a lot going on there. I was not following along there.
So we're at Champlain for a Bass Open. When was it? 17? Was it 17? I can't remember. It was either 17 or 18. You know, Patrick's from South Carolina. They just run the mud. You know, I'm going to run the mud, run across that flat. Well, he tried to go from Big Balance Bay to Inland Sea through that bridge.
That was who that was. I remember that now.
Yeah. Way down.
Yeah, I remember.
I'll tell you how far down it was. I was on the other side in the Inland Sea, and I could look through the bridge, and I seen these two guys stand. I didn't have a clue who it was. Like, and I'm thinking, I just tried to do this, like turn my head like I didn't see them, you know, like I'm not going over and getting into this. And then I got to thinking.
I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah, exactly. I said, I can't be that guy. I got to go over here and see if I can help them out. So, I troll across that flat. I don't even know how I got over. And when you got to the bridge, it got like 15 foot deep. So I get over and it's Patrick and his dad, and that Falcon's, it's listed, like it's laying on its side. So this boy comes over on a jet ski, and he's got the same kind of shorts on that Patrick Walters does, the swimming trunks. Looks just like Patrick Walters, but skinnier. Short. Shorter. Yeah, shorts. And so there's four of us, and we're trying to push it. I can't, you can spin it around a little bit, but it's that old hard compact sand. So 1200 feet of rope and a towboat later, Patrick gets unstuck. I mean, it's like that, not happening, not getting it out there. I mean, I've seen a lot of boats stuck, but I've never seen one like lay over. He was within 35 yards of getting to the hole, but it wouldn't have ever made it. It was like my ankles wasn't even getting wet when I was walking out there to him. So
he needed Tom Mansour to pull him off and charge him like $9,000.
No, that was his son.
Or whoever. Son.
That made it bad. That saved it. It was his son, dude.
It was his son. It wasn't Tom.
He didn't have nothing to do with that shit.
It was his boy. Need some money. He's down.
Man, I didn't think I was doing the podcast when all that kind of fun stuff was happening.
Oh, yeah. It was a good time.
Hot topic.
Hey.
Mobile.
Who else got stuck? I'll tell you one thing.
Oh, I know somebody else got stuck, but he wasn't like that stuck.
Pull him out of a hole.
What was that?
That's in that sugar sand, though. He's good.
Yeah, I got stuck in that turn. That was when we had the last championship or wherever at lacrosse, whatever it was then. And dude, we had like 6 hours to practice, and I think I was stuck like five and three quarters of them. It was terrible. Wesley had to come get me unstuck. It was one of those like around the bend, and you got to make a decision right then. We either got to stop or we got to send this sumbitch all the way across this flat. Well, I sent it. Wrong decision. And Wesley had to come to my rescue. Thank goodness.
Yeah. We got you out there, though. You're good to go.
Yeah. Yep.
In 2018, the first morning of practice, or 17 at lacrosse, I'd never been there, and I stuck mine idling, and I called the W and I said, "Hey man, what should I do?" He's like, "Well, I mean, I guess get out and push." And I'm like, "Dude, it ain't going nowhere." And the current like just pushing me further up on the flat. Like I can't do nothing. And there's nobody around, and I was in the middle of nowhere. And I still got a picture of me, like, selfie of my boxers out there. Water's like 64 degrees, cold as crap. And I'm pushing an inch at a time. And W's advice was, dude, just trim it down, and eventually you'll carve out a trench. I was like, a trench? What? And it was just like you're talking about, Patrick. I was 30 yards from being fine. Like, right there. And then finally used the straighter technique of ruining a water pump. Got across the plant.
It was bad.
That water pump was cheaper than a tow job, though, wasn't it?
Well, especially up there.
Especially a Mansour towing, because those are high dollar. God, what did he try to charge that guy? Like $5,000 or something stupid that time?
Who was it?
Because I think it's $2,500, just like $2,000 or something.
Yeah, somebody.
Dude, it was like $5,000.
Nah, I think it's more like I thought it was like $2,000 to pull it.
I think
off.
Dudley's the one that ended up calling and getting on him, that guy about it.
Yeah, fixing it.
Yeah.
So, who did he do it
to? To the rescue.
Dudley. What they that was before he had fake tattoos. Who was it he did it to though? Because they post about, was it Sermon? Mike Sermon,
yeah.
Yeah.
Because him and Dudley are buddies, and that's what got Dudley so pissed off about it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
man, we've gone deep down the rabbit hole, boys.
Yeah,
I'm just getting started. I mean, what are you talking about? Nah, I'm just joking.
He's a whole pack of beagles. That's what Brad is. He's a whole pack of beagles.
A whole pack of beagles.
A whole pack of beagles. 30 strong.
I'll take
that as a compliment.
Yep.
A whole pack of blue ticks, go big orange.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of, we got a lot of really cool things happening here. We got almost 1st of September. So we got football coming up, dove season, early goose season, some duck stuff happening. So it's, elk season's coming around. As a matter of fact, right now, it is deer season in Tennessee, which, I mean, when I looked at my truck yesterday, it was 104 as I was going to town. And I'm a pretty hardcore hunter. And then I don't know that I'm just, even if I was guaranteed to shoot like some magnum, I'd be like, just hard for me to get interested in shooting a deer at 104 degrees.
I got one 200 yards from my back porch three times a day, and I just, nah.
It's too hot.
I'm not. Well, and look, y'all can call me out in the comments, whatever. I process my own deer sometimes. I got a buddy that does it for a living. Support him. But when it's this hot, I don't have anywhere refrigerated, obviously, to clean one.
Right.
And affected my decision too, because my buddy Sean Chapman, he's not open yet. And I was texting this week. I'm like, hey, you going to be taking deer? He said, no. So then you got to, you shoot it with a bow. By the time you, you know, you get to the deer, you get it loaded out, you get it strung up. I mean, dude, that's, you're playing a game of chess with whether or racing against the clock, I should say, or whether or not the meat's going to spoil, in my opinion. I just, right.
Playing Russian roulette with botulism.
Right. It's a, hey, I don't see a lot of, you know, we had a year or two ago where we had some pretty decent weather. I think this is one of the worst heat waves that we've had during our early buck season. Normally hot, but, you know, tolerable maybe, I guess would be a word.
I went like 95 on Saturday of it in a pop-up blind. That's the most miserable I've ever been in my entire life, ever.
Yeah,
that's hot. It's a guarantee that that's the hottest I've ever been.
Yeah.
You know when Ace Ventura climbed out of that rhinoceros?
Yeah, and I've been there before.
That's what I look like. Climbing out of the tent at the end of the day.
Wesley and I were at a deer hunt in Illinois one time, and we go to this he's going to put me in this metal box blind. We're bow hunting out in this field, and it's about 1st of October, so it's still about a high of about 87. That's the way I was, dude. I mean, like, no why. Like, straight up just stripped down to my underwear in this thing, dude. Like, balling sweat off it. I got every window open. I'm just like,
that was right by the prison, too, the sweat.
Yeah, box. Yeah. They're like, dude, you can't get out of that stand. You'll mess it all. I'm like, dude, I'm out, dude. I'm walking to the road. I'm gonna like, thumb a right. Like, screw this, dog. I want to be out. Like, I'm done. Oh, you can't, dude. We got to pick you up on the range. If you get out in that field, you're going to mess it up. That's how he does, man. Dude, that's what I came out of that door like the ace would drive out the elephant. Just stretch out. Oh.
The sweat dripping.
The oven was on, boys. You remember that, Wes?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember.
Was that before or after he tried to kill you with that one, that tree stand didn't have those good straps on it?
That was his defense, how he used to play defense on me. I'm pretty sure.
That makes me feel so bad. I can't even see straight.
I tell you, it doesn't make you feel
I never will forget that as long as I live. He calls. I thought I heard something. I walked to the next stand. I thought I heard something. I thought, what was that noise?
That'd be 250 pounds bouncing off the floor from 25.
I get climbed up my stand, my phone rings. Andrew goes, I'm out. I'm down. I said, what do you mean you're down? He goes, I'm down. I fell. I fell out. I'm like, I took off running. I just run all the way up the side of that ridge. Got up there to him. He's sitting there. I'm like, are you all right? He goes, I think I'm okay. I'm like, well, let me go get the ranger. I'll come back and get you. Oh, no, he walks out of the woods with two broke femurs.
Couldn't get the players in there.
This is when, fences. Huh?
We had to cross all them fences and stuff.
We'd I know. He walked out of there to the ranger. I come and picked him up at the edge of the woods, and the ranger said, I think I can walk to the field. And then we go, when we get back to us here, we got to where we're staying at. So here's, put your legs up and we'll ice your knees down, and we'll go back and see. And he goes, all right. And he sits there for a while. I goes, hey, he said, I'm out. I ain't going back and see him. I'm like, oh, well, all right, let's go. So he said, we got to go home. I said, all right. So we're headed to the house, and I stop at a convenience store, and he gets out of the truck and walks in the convenience store. He said, I'm going here to get me some paint, some Tylenol or something. So my legs are killing me. So I'm pumping gas, my phone rang. He goes, hey, he said, right by the door. I said, like, what do you mean? He says, my legs are swollen so bad. He said, I can't even take a step.
Dude, I had to piss so bad.
Literally cannot walk. And I'm there right next to the door, and we just kind of slide him over and put him in the truck, and to Tennessee we go. Yeah. He calls me 2 days later. He says, well, broke both femurs. I'm like, what? I said, thing that impressed me was, I'm like, I never want to mess with Brad Knight as long as I live, because he just walked out of the woods with two broke femurs.
Ugh.
Like nothing ever happened. It hurts a little bit.
Hey. Wear your safety harness, folks. If you're listening to this, this was even worse.
Had nothing to do with a safety harness.
Yep. Got to the tree and it didn't have a lifeline on it. I've got a spare lifeline in my backpack because I got a black cloud over my head. I know how it goes, right?
I forgot about that.
Don't like heights. Not a big fan of them. So I get all the way to the top ladder. I'm going to reach out and get my lifeline attached as I'm reaching back to attach it. Down goes Frazier.
Yeah.
But anyway. I went to the bathroom at that gas station, and now we're starting, the adrenaline's wearing off, and it's really getting on the pain factor pretty good. Every time I take a step, it's one of those where you're going, oh boy, I don't know if I can take another one. But dude, I got like halfway out to the gas station. I'm like, this ain't like a little mom and pop. This is like a damn Bucky's almost. We got like 9 lanes of pumps. And I get right in the middle and blocking traffic for all of them. Dude, I'm locked up. I mean, I can't take another step. Like, I'm just going to lay down here in the middle of the damn gas station parking lot. We can't go no further. But we made it.
I'm just thankful you're still here.
Me too. Me too.
Yeah.
Always an adventure.
Podcast if you weren't on it, to be honest.
What is it? I think
we'd have had a cameraman.
It'd just be the T. It'd just be T2 instead of T3.
T2. He tried to make it T squared.
Hey, we're Tennessee 2.5 now after that one. That took a little bit out of me.
We Tennessee 2.5 now that I'm working on my dad one too. Because Wesley talking about sprinting through the woods, I wouldn't have been sprinting nowhere to come up, get your big ass. I would have hyperventilated and died and fell into a bed of chiggers before I got to you. These days, I'm so
happy.
That was.
We got sales now. We ain't got to worry about that.
Always an adventure, boys. It's always an adventure.
Always.
Well, boys, I appreciate y'all doing this.
Anytime.
Listening, I said last week or 2 weeks ago with Alton Jones Jr. that if you were still listening, I'd send you some autographed fudge rounds. But fudge rounds are at a premium now that that redheaded guy sings that song about them. Can't find them nowhere, so I apologize.
Hey, yeah. That's the way it is.
Dude, you can't find fudge rounds. No joke. That guy, he wiped out fudge rounds.
Who was that? The Oliver guy?
Yeah. Fudge rounds, you can't find them. They're in short supply.
You know. Marketing 101, beautiful.
Love the song though, man. Like I'm all about what it's about, but he needs to lay off talking about the little Debs. Like that pissed me off. Like I don't get fired up. Y'all want to talk politics? You want to talk? I don't get that fired up. You start talking about my little Debbies. You start talking about milk or something, dude. You better, like, I swear, you better find a hole to get in. If that's your stance, that if that's what you're going, that's the hill you're going down.
Yeah. Hey, it's Coca-Cola for me. I just hope Coke doesn't do anything stupid like Bud Light does, because damn, it's going to be hard for me to. I'm going to be protesting them like everybody else. Like, I'm never drinking it again. And then as soon as somebody's looking,
you're going to be like Kid Rock.
Yeah, just shoot it and then drink it when nobody's looking.
And then there's cameras around. So you get called. You know what? I hate what they stand for, but this Coca-Cola is delicious.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
I lost everybody that just froze up. I didn't hear nothing you said.
Disagree. So. It's cool.
Yeah.
You're whatever. Yeah. I said, I hope Coke doesn't do what Bud Light did.
Yeah. We'll yeah. You'll die.
I know. That's what I run on.
You'll die.
It's 80% Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
I asked him one time, like, you don't even drink like the zero sugar ones or anything. He's like, why would I do that?
He didn't have XO chromosomes. He has C-O-K-E chromosomes.
Probably. That's my bias, man. Everybody's got to have one. You know, I don't drink a lot of beer. I mean, I'll have a beer time to time. That's kind of my – I drink Cokes, man. I like to shoot shit, drink Cokes, and have a big time. That's pretty much my life.
Absolutely.
Put that on a shirt and let Gerald Swindle sell it.
Yeah. Hey, you might as well, right? Get a country guy to sing a song about it. It'll be good.
No doubt about it.
We'll put it on the radio. So ECO. Actually got them on there. So you can hear that song if you wanted to on WECO 101.3 FM.
And on the app. I have the WECO app.
Yeah.
Comes in handy for listening to the Tennessee Volunteers, no matter where I'm at in the country.
That's right.
Listen to the voice
of Kessling.
Bob Kessling, who said it was worth it, Luke.
Hey, personalized message from the voice of the Vols. That's all I'm going to tell you.
Listen. W, you've done a lot of great things for me in life. You're my boy. But I will say, Brad Knight did pull off the video of the century with Bob Kesslin in the press box whenever me and Darian used to say, it was worth it all the time. Well, there's a lot of story to that video, but I used to play that sound clip on the show all the time, and Bob Kesslin goes, Luke, it was worth it.
That's right. From the announcer booth in Neyland Stadium, by the way.
I get that text one day, and I'm like, what?
That was fun. That was a good trip.
That will make its way to social media this week.
You know what we ought to do? This is no lie. We all three should go to the ball game.
We should. In Nashville this weekend? Are we going?
No. Oh. I got to go. I got other stuff to do this weekend.
Well, I mean, you had me all fired up, dude.
I'm talking about a home game at home. And
we should all go, and then we'll all have a great time. And
I'm not
going. No, I'm not going. I mean, like, dude, I was fired up.
That's short notice. It's too short notice.
All right. Well, we'll do it then.
Brad can get his tickets because he owns a radio station now, and he has
the hookup for the volunteer stuff.
Got the hookup.
Well, now your inbox is going to be hooked up with people wanting you to get them.
Yeah.
Hey, Brad, you're my best friend.
Brad, I know you said you don't like social media anymore, but there's any way that you could give me some tickets.
Yeah, you can send me a DM, but I won't check it, so it'll be cool.
Yeah, just DM me. I'll never see it.
No, I'm back. I'm back on the social stuff a little bit. I'm filtering back in a little bit. It's can't go all the way back. It's just a little bit. I got to get on Instagram from time to time and look at stuff, so that's about it.
Just don't start an OnlyFans.
Been trying to work on my hunting stuff, dude. It's time to be shooting stuff. I mean, it's like in that wind down. We got one more little bass tournament coming up on Watts Bar here in a couple of weeks. And after that's out of the way, then we'll be headed up towards.
Hey, we're going to see how good that live scope is next week. That's what we're at that forward facing sonar. We're going to see how good it is next week.
I've seen enough to know it's pretty good already. I'd say the
test. No, you know what I'm saying about, you was talking about the fall deal, how when it gets.
Oh, yeah.
We're fixing seed. What that's all about, you know what I mean? Yeah. I'm sure it'll be one like it, but
who knows? That'd be a good bet. The odds would be in your favor.
Yeah,
for sure. But it's a cool time of the year. You know, used to Wesley and I and Luke yourself as well. We'd be on that FLW schedule, right? Where, you know, January you were fishing till like August at the Cup, and then you kind of get to this time of the year, and it was like, man, forget fishing. I'm not going to think about it again until next year. It's time for deer season and all that. So it's kind of like that's programmed in my DNA, man. It gets to this time of the year. I've got my bow in my hand, shotgun in my hand, and I'm ready to get to it. So having some fall events kind of mixes in, going to keep it kind of interesting too.
Hey, Luke, what's your longest podcast?
My longest podcast? Longer than this, I think. This is a long one, though.
How long have we been talking?
A couple of hours. For like Damn. 2 hours.
I didn't even know you didn't record yet.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Catching up. That's bad, right?
No, dude, I do a lot of them that are in that two-hour range, you know, hour and a half, hour 45, 2 hours.
Huh. So what you're saying is we need to stop talking?
No, I was just wondering. I mean, I'm just like.
His butt's gone numb on the stool.
No, I'm just trying to go for the record. I want to know what the record was. I can make this go a lot longer.
I'm gonna be like, let me get my West.
Oh, here we go. Oh, wait, I can get better. Wait, whoa.
Let me.
Happening.
Oh wait,
I was winding it down. To set
I'm
up
just west. I just happened to be. Wait, I'm getting. Yeah, just where I was at right here.
Wait, what's all that? I don't know what all that is.
Oh, flexing. I'm going back outside now.
What is all that stuff? I don't know.
Wesley's got trophy cases for his trophy case. He has so many damn trophies.
I know it.
Wait a minute. They reposition this. Just sorry.
You can go for those.
That right there is what I'm talking about. Right there. That's the one thing that I've always wanted in my life, and I never got it and never will. Right there, that cup. I rode that thing one time. I put it between my legs, and I rode it around the studio a little bit.
Hey, I'll tell you a pretty funny story about the cup deal. Let me see if I can find the there's a big guy right here.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
I just messed up something or other.
No, you didn't.
All right, we're back. You guys see this big dent right here?
Yeah.
So at one show I was at, one of my sponsors wanted the cup in the booth, and I said, that's fine. Just don't let anybody touch it. I mean, that's solid sterling silver. It's worth a lot of money. I said, just don't let anybody mess with it. Like, they can have a picture beside it. So sure enough, he comes over to me. He's like, hey, man, we got a problem. Some grunt dude went in the thing and got the bottom of the base and tried to, like, pick it up down here at the bottom. This thing's, like, super heavy. Like, everybody just picks this part up. It's not too bad. But it isn't attached. Like, this just lifts off. Right here's the big dent. I told you wrong. See right there at the bottom?
Yeah.
So he lifts it over his head, and the cup falls 6 feet over his head and thumps onto the ground and rolls out through the expo center. That was put a big dent in it and stuff. Yeah, that was
interesting. Well, it's a good thing you wasn't there, because it.
Oh, I was there. We about got in a fight in the parking lot, me and the guy.
Oh.
It's the craziest thing ever. He, like, comes up and trash talks me in the parking lot after he dented my cup.
He probably thought it was a replica.
Those exist. I've been thinking about getting me some replica trophies just so I got more. and then once bass fishing, you're like, oh, you didn't remember when I won that 1993? Yeah, I was down there.
Hey, wait, speaking of that, hold on, I'll be right back.
What is happening? I was trying to end it.
That was the end. Just to end Wesley. All right, I'm going to end mine too, and we're just going to call that the end.
To set up for the in-person, hey, we're going to have a more –
Do you know anybody repairs crystal?
What is that?
it's a PAA tournament that don't exist no more. Yes, bro. All the pieces.
Which lake was that, Cherokee?
Thinking about making a laser with this, you know, filtering the sun rays through it. And
we're off the rails now, boys. We're
going down that road, ain't we?
Wesley Strader fishing.
No, I was going to tell you, that's when Luke done that. Luke did that when he was here at my house that time. There was him and Corey Big C was here and they was having a wrestling match. And he knocked it off the shelf and it shattered. Thanks, Luke.
I mean, I might have done some
Wait, stuff. Hold on. One more before everybody leaves. You got to see this one. This is the best.
This is headed, and I'm not here for it. I'll just tell you, I know where this is headed. This haunts me a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I can't believe for this. Show this it. Is one of my most prized possessions on earth.
Everybody for tuning in. Click. I turned it in.
Zoom that up to the.
Look at that right there, boys. Look at them guns. Look. Oh, yeah. Atlas himself.
Yeah. That just sold five.
Look, it's personalized. Look. I think it's the only one in existence.
It is indeed. It needs to be burned.
Nope. I'll never look. This is one of the most prized possessions right here.
You know, when Dave Chappelle did that episode, Rick James was like, cocaine's a hell of a drug. Well, I can say Jack Daniels is a hell of a drink.
I got proof of it right here.
I used to drink a lot of it. Sometimes you put on women's tank tops that they're going to wear in the booth.
Yeah, I can tell that's a woman's. I see them. Dent marks in it right there in the front.
I would dent it now. This dad bod.
Good times right there.
I like it. That was a good score, Dub. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up.
You need a copy of this? Because I can make copies.
You should take a picture and post it for Instagram.
I actually have that picture. Had that picture sent to me like 2 weeks ago by my boss at TH because he's the one that took it.
Nice.
The parking lot. That was at a Forestwood Cup in Lake Lanier. I remember some of it.
See all the good stuff that happens. We don't have cups anymore. We got to get back on the program.
Actually, remember that the next day after
hashtag
that.
Hashtag bring it back.
Bring back the cup.
Bring back the cup.
I started it in
life. I actually remember at that show, there was like this gap in between the booths and you had the pipe and drape, like the background deal. And there was this gap about 4 feet wide between rows. And normally, you know, they're back to back, but between the aisles. And I was so hungover the next day that I crawled through the curtain and I laid back there for like an hour when my boss went to lunch.
Nice.
Just in the fetal position. And I also remember 5 Hour Energy was at that cup with a booth giving away little 5 Hour Energies. And I drank so many of them that I'm pretty sure the Surgeon General made a new warning about how many you should have after that. Because I could not function because the brown liquor had taken a hold of my body. I was sweating Jack Daniels. And that was just like a Wednesday night. For some reason, I thought that was a good idea.
Was that the one that George Cochran won?
No, that was at Lanier. That was in the Kevin. What was it? Kevin Hawk? What was the kid guy's name?
Roy Hall.
Kevin, he moved down there, remember? It was Hall. It's Kevin Hall.
Yeah, Kevin Hall, yeah.
That's what I said.
I thought you said Roy. I was like.
Roy fishes with you, BPT. Bass Pro Tour.
He does?
Yeah. Bass Pro Tour. Yeah, he's over there. But Kevin Hawk moved to Lake Lanier, remember, to practice just for the tournament. He was a West Coast guy, and he moved over there.
And won.
His garage.
Yeah. Lived over there. But, memories, guys. Me drinking a lot of Jack Daniels. That was in like 2000 and, I don't know, something. It was a long time ago. It was well before I started fishing the tour. That's for damn sure. Like 2012, maybe? 11?
Good old days, they say.
Good old days, they say. Yeah. My liver didn't think so.
We've been there before.
Swindle telling stories about me drinking brown liquor are some of my favorite. to be honest. He's got some that I don't remember. And he's like, damn, Duncan shows up like a handle of Jack for a cookout. And he's like, what? Did you bring that for everybody? He's like, no, I don't know what y'all are drinking. I'm drinking this.
Ooh.
Went through those days. But we're good now, guys. We just drink Tito's now. We stay away from the brown liquor. Old brown liquor. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to end it. Wesley Strader and Brad Knight, before we tell stories.
So everybody, don't forget, tune in to Luke Duncan's LBL. This is before Low Budget Live ever began. This is how low budget it was. He wore women's tank tops.
I have no damn budget then, son. I wasn't even low budget.
Yeah, he is no budget.
I was living on a company credit card, praying I didn't get fired. Ladies,
look where you're at now.
The Tennessee 3, yeah.
Got your beats on, your express hat, talking into a possum.
These are not beats.
You have made it. You have made it. You have arrived.
$30. Damn it.
Got enough money to buy you a couple more tattoos. You ain't just got a feather no more. You got something else over there now. What you got on that arm? A guitar string? The neck of a guitar, right?
Yeah.
Dudley inspired him.
He's got his butterfly for his mama's tattoo. That's inspirational.
Even with you guys.
Hey, we love you, buddy. We love you. You're one of us. We love you.
Next podcast, I'm going to do it in that tank top. Just got to find where to get one.
Yeah. Oh, I think I know who to call to get one.
If you should hold that picture up one more time, and if you don't let that be the thumbnail for this episode, I don't know what I'm going to think about it.
My God.
Tune in next week.
Hold it up one more time. Hold it up for my screenshot purposes. That's what we need to have.
W, you got to say something for it to pop up big for everybody.
Hold it up. Say Tennessee 3 and hold it up.
T3.
The youngest member of T3 right here.
Hell, I'm screenshotting it. I don't care if Luke can.
Don't worry. I'll see you. I'll run you a copy of it. Just go have it.
Yeah, but it's on FaceTime.
That's all she wrote, ladies and gentlemen. The Tennessee 3.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Hope we didn't bore you to death.
Yeah, sorry if we offended somebody. We didn't mean to, but
I'm not sorry for that.
Well, you know how it is. I know you don't, but I don't. I try to be pleasant with everybody in my life. You know what I mean?
You saying I don't?
That karma will come back around and get you, son. So that's just, you don't mess with karma.
All right. That's all she wrote for the Tennessee 3 right there. Love those guys, man. Those are two that are always going to be brothers to me, and don't get to spend near enough time with them these days like in the past, and grateful for every minute like that we get to spend cutting up and hanging out. And I appreciate everybody tuning in. Hope y'all enjoyed that as much as I did getting to do that, to say the very least. Thank y'all. I can't say that enough each and every week. I appreciate each and every low lifer that tunes in week in and week out. Be sure to support the sponsors that make everything happen on the show. It is very, very important that you show them that you're a low lifer so we can keep doing this. Look, I get new fancy lights and whatnot that I don't know how to use. I appreciate each and every one of y'all. Go take you out with some Biloxi Blues. And I'm going to say, go damn Big Orange one more time. We'll see y'all next week.
Jacksonville to Tupelo, I never could make it last. Spanish moss and Civil War ghosts, well, I'm gonna leave them in the past. Any direction, Lord, I'll be fine. It don't matter, east or west. North, south, wherever the wind blows, I'm leaving those burdens at rest. This highway, it does not know my name, and I don't care, no, I don't care. Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare. Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough.